Nick!
Gentlemen!
Nick's your buddy. Kind of guy you can drink beer with.
Start your engine!
My papa's son wandering out a smoking gun. Now some of you would live through me and lock me up and throw away the key. Or just find a place to hide away and hope that I'll just go away. But I feel alright. I feel alright tonight. Alright, I feel alright tonight. And I'll bring you precious contraband and ancient tales from distant lands.
All right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the WGN Skyline studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago, here until 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude, every weekday morning, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich follows this show with the opening bell at 5, and then Steve Cochran has your morning drive at 6. Our phone number is 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You can also follow us on Twitter at Nick D Show and stay connected on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show. It's Friday morning, so that means all the regular Friday features will be coming up, including Fly Jams Friday. You can get your requests in there at 312-981-7200. And also, straight out of context, that's when you listen to this radio station 24/7, whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds kind of dirty and it makes you giggle. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Also, Nick D Show Spies. That's when you listen to the station 24/7. Whenever anybody mentions me or the show in any capacity, we want to know about it. So jot down the day, the time, who said it again, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. We also have You Big Dummy. You Big Dummy is where we read real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff, and then we vote on who's the biggest dummy. But joining us this morning is our old friend Esmeralda Leon. She'll be coming in after 2 o'clock, and she'll be voting for You Big Dummy, and she'll be here, and we've got a whole bunch of fun topics to talk about. We'll catch up with Esmeralda, our old friend, and we'll play another round of For the Record, where we always play a little music trivia game with Esmeralda when she's here. So Esmeralda will be popping in at around 2 o'clock. She's going to stay through the entire morning until 5. So it'll be great to have Esmeralda here. So we're all excited about that. Also coming up after 1:30, after the 1:30 news, John Nichols is going to join us from Voices of the City. Voices of the City is a real interesting project where they are recording people and their thoughts about where they come from and what they're doing, favorite place in the city and the suburbs. And these are being these audio montages are being played throughout the city and on the Pace. The pace buses and trains, and we're going to talk with John about this project. It's a very interesting one and a really cool one. So John will be here after the 1:30 news to talk about that. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We are going to talk about food. We got fast food items that failed. We also have people are losing their minds over the fact that the Popeye's chicken sandwich, there's a shortage. So we'll discuss that and much more. All right, so that's what's coming up on the show this Friday morning. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Let's say hello to my producer, Tom Hush. Hi, Tom.
Hey, Nick.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you doing?
I'm not bad. What do you got going for the weekend?
Well, today I'm going to go to this place called the Catcade.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like this arcade-style cat shelter. It's over on Belmont, mm-hmm. and essentially you make a donation, and you get to go hang out for a couple hours with these cats.
Oh, that's cool.
And, you can sit there and play Pac-Man, and the cats are just hanging out with you.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's pretty fun.
Yeah, especially if you like cats.
Yeah.
And I happen to love cats.
Yeah, so. I've been before, and they're they're beautiful animals. You know, they just like to come hang out with you. They'll just come sit in your lap and pet them, make them feel loved. And if you're so inclined, you can even adopt them.
Wow. All right. That sounds like a cool place.
Yeah. Oh, so that'll be pretty fun.
Yeah. All right. That's cool. And we, in the newsroom, we have Vic Vaughn. Hi, Vic.
Morning, sir.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing okay.
We're going to be hearing, you're hearing Vic's picks a little bit later on, too, after the 3:30 news.
Yeah.
We will talk to Vic on his musical journey of listening to all of the top 100 albums of all time, according to the Rolling Stone magazine. And we got two more to talk about this morning, correct?
Winding down.
Yeah, you're getting close to the top of the list.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll do that a little bit later on. Always interested. What's going on for your weekend, Vic?
I know we actually do have some plans. So Randolph Street Market, we're going to go to that on, I think, on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, I think it's this weekend. I have to double check, but I was listening to Justin Kaufman on his show yesterday, and he had on a representative from Reckless Records. Is this happening this weekend where they have their kind of last sale, like all of the merchant, you know, the stores kind of
clearance?
Yeah, the last sales of the summer and all that. And I think Reckless Records is doing something where they're opening up their basement, which is normally off limits.
Right.
They're going to open that up to customers. So I thought that sounded really fun.
Well, especially with what, you're doing now.
Yeah, right, right.
The music that you're listening to.
And I have picked up some records since I've been doing this, but I want, you know, I love it. I want to shop some more. So this weekend, I'll probably go and
do
that.
You have a turntable?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm going to be down the street from Reckless, so I might do some digging for you.
This weekend?
Yeah. Yeah.
When are you going to be there? Maybe we'll...
Saturday, yeah, well, I'll be over by. They've got three locations. I'm not sure where the basement thing is happening, but I'm going to be.
It's in Wicker Park.
Okay, so I'm going to be by the Belmont.
The original.
Yeah, the original.
The original.
I used to go there all the time when I lived there.
Amazing.
That record shop, that very one. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you were right there. You were in the Flatiron Building.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
That sounds like a good weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Hey, Cubs swept the Giants.
Five straight wins.
I love the fact that they, you know, they score 12 runs the night before, and then they only squeak out one. That's all they needed. It was a pitcher's duel, your classic pitcher's duel yesterday. But I love they go from scoring 12 runs, and then like 13 hours later, they can't score more than one. But you know what? It was cool, and the wind was blowing in at Wrigley, as opposed to the night before where it was warm and it was humid, and the wind was blowing out. That makes a difference. That makes a difference. But anyway, man, yeah, the Cubs, it's fun. They got a day off. Are they playing today? Because I know that they've got a 6-game homestand.
They do
I think
a,
so, yeah,
yeah
today.
They're playing the Nationals,
today.
Right? They're playing the Nationals. Okay. Yeah.
120.
Yep.
Okay, 120 start, and I know it's a Saturday. So all weekend they'll be playing Walgreens. So
that's right.
Playing the team from Walgreens. Do they not know that logo looks exactly like the Walgreens W?
They definitely know. They have to know.
They
now.
Have to know. I love when they play the team from Walgreens. They can. You know what they do? It's what's great about it. When the Nationals come to town, they can not only play a game against them, but they can pick up their prescriptions. It's really quite convenient.
Very efficient.
Oh, man.
Just in case you need a refill on the old allergy meds.
That's right.
They got it.
That's right. You're all set. Need some toilet paper? Just ask the Nationals. They'll help you.
You know, I feel like they'll probably carry it around in the ball cap. Be like, oh, you know, I got a little bit of a headache, Rizzo. You know?
Yeah. Well, don't worry about it. The Nationals, the Walgreen Nationals has your aspirin, so you'll be fine. All right. Well, anyway, so that's what's coming up on the weekend. I'm going to see that Ready or Not movie too.
I really want to see if I could sneak into that. Like, it's going to be good.
You know, my future ex-wife, the lovely Dana DiLorenzo's friend, is the lead. It's like her first lead. She was in Ash vs. Evil Dead. She's really good buddies with my future ex-wife Dana. So she's very excited to see the movie as well.
I'm still very confused how that one's coming out, but. The Hunt got pulled from theaters. It's not going to have a release. I think it was supposed to come out in September.
It was.
And that's not going to have a traditional theatrical release.
I'm not sure what the logic is behind it. It might be that The Hunt is all guns and that this one, Ready or Not, is like crossbows and stuff, and that might be different. I don't know. People get murdered in different ways in Ready or Not, as opposed to just gunfire in The Hunt. That's the only thing that I can That's the only thing that I can think
of. It's very strange. I'm sure The Hunt will get, like, a digital release, or Netflix will snap it up, or something weird like that.
I wasn't very excited about it anyway.
I love Betty Gilpin.
I saw the trailer for it, and I was like,
I'm a big fan of Betty Gilpin.
Oh, so am I. I think she's great. I love her, especially on Glow.
Yeah, I was just going to watch her. I was just going to watch it for her.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, this is Ready or Not. It's getting pretty great reviews, actually. And it looks really funny and really dark. And, Andie McDowell's in it. She hasn't been in a movie in a long time. Her daughter, by the way, is dominating, like, the world at this point. Got an Emmy nomination for playing Anne Reinking in Fosse Verdon. She's currently in Tarantino's new movie and kills in it. Literally. No, does she kill anybody?
No,
she doesn't.
She is only... She's in the first half, and once they get to the Spawn Ranch, I think she doesn't really appear past that.
After that, yeah.
Yeah, she's just kind of the lure for Brad Pitt's
Well, she's also, you know, the big foot fetish. She's got her feet slammed onto the windshield when they're driving the car in very Quentin Tarantino style.
Yeah.
But she's terrific in that movie, and she's great in Fosse Verdon. Mm-hmm. And so good for her. Right, and then now her mom's in a what's supposed to be a pretty cool movie. So.
I don't think I've watched her in anything. The only two movies I really recognize her from and is going to be Sex, Lies, and Videotape, of course, and then Four Weddings and a Funeral. I don't know if I really
Groundhog Day. Yeah,
yeah, come but on, you man. Know me. I'm not a huge fan of Groundhog Day.
What about Green Card?
What
with Gerard Depardieu? Romantic comedy directed by Peter Weir,
Dead Poets Society guy.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
The thing about Peter Weir is, I hate Dead Poets Society. I think it's one of the worst movies ever made. But I think he goes from hot to cold, Peter Weir, because he directed Fearless, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. One of the greatest movies ever made, featuring Jeff Bridges in what I think is his best performance. But then, like, he'll do something like Green Card. He'll do the Truman Show, which is a great movie. And then, like, he'll do something goofy. But he's like kind of all over the map, Peter Weir. He's capable of making really bad movies, but he's also capable of making really incredibly good movies. So anyway, all right. Well, it's going to be a fun weekend, everybody. Looks like we got some great weather. So if anybody's doing some outdoor stuff, man, it's. I think it's just going to be a beautiful weekend. We got like highs in the mid 70s and low humidity and sun throughout the entire week. For the entire weekend, so we'll have a great time this weekend. All right, listen, let's do this. We'll take a break. When we come back, I still have some more of these goofy snacks from the 80s that we're going to finish talking about. We've been reminiscing a little bit about goofy snacks from the 80s, and we'll do that. And then after 1:30, John Nichols will join us from Voices of the City. And then after 2:00, our great friend Esmeralda Leon will be here. We'll have fun with her. We'll do some trivia stuff, and we'll also do all of the regular Friday features. Once again, 312-981-7200 for talk and text. You went with the German version.
Yeah.
Okay. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the WGN Skyline studio here until 5:00 Friday. All the regular Friday features are coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, Fly Jams Friday. And our great friend Esmeralda Leon is going to join us after the 2:00 news to hang out with us off with the rest of the show until 5. She'll be a part of all the regular features. Plus, we're going to do some... for the record, music trivia and much more. Hanging out with Esmeralda, it's always a good time. After the 1:30 news, John Nichols is going to join us. He's in the PPG Paints green room right now, the great PPG Paints green room. And he's from Voices of the City. We'll tell you all about that project in just a little bit. Okay. We have been talking about these weird snacks that people ate in the 80s and reminiscing a little bit about this stuff. Like, for instance, Minute Maid fruit juice. It says, if you think that looks like a frozen wedge of orange juice, you're not all the way wrong. Introduced in 1986, according to this Coca-Cola annual report, it's not the worst snack, but it's something that anyone can easily try to make today with the right mold. Even though juice is often seen as being good for us, it also contains a lot of sugar. And you may as well just get ice cream. That's Minute Maid fruit juice, frozen.
Frozen fruit juice.
Yeah, it's good for you. How about Micro Magic milkshakes? Micro Magic milkshakes. You want a milkshake? Pop open a microwave, said no one. But that's actually a lie. Some executive must have uttered those words at least once, because the whole premise behind Micro Magic milkshakes is that it's completely microwavable. But the concept itself is so strange that it's no surprise why these things didn't last, even if they did get rave reviews in a 1989 newspaper. I've watched the commercial three times now, and I still can't figure it out. Magic indeed. Micro Magic milkshake. So you throw this thing in the microwave, and then out comes a milkshake. So I guess it's frozen. You put it in the microwave, and it melts it a little bit?
I hope just a little bit. No, who wants a hot milkshake?
Nobody wants a hot milkshake.
Get your steaming hot milkshakes right here.
That's fantastic. That's called a hot chocolate or a hot cocoa. Five Alive. I remember Five Alive.
Five Alive.
Five Alive was like a half gallon paper carton, you know, the old like milk cartons. It came in that, and it was in the, I remember because I was in the, it was in the dairy section. Five Alive in the cooler. This product made sense, but it's also very easy to make fun of. Five Alive figured in 1979, why not combine five fruit juices to make one mega juice? Probably because people have different tastes and don't want their taste buds inundated with five totally different flavors at once. However, Five Alive believed in this idea so much that they came out with a second flavor in 1982. Okay. All right.
So it's five different flavors of juice?
It's five different kinds of juice in one. I actually thought it was pretty good. I actually thought it was kind of tasty.
Yeah. That doesn't sound too bad, but then again, I'm the type of guy that mushes together multiple, like, if I'm having, like, gummies or Skittles, I'll put all the flavors together.
Well, Skittles is only one flavor.
No, it's not. Skittles are different flavors.
No, they're all the same. They're different colors, but they're all the same flavor.
Really?
Yeah. Skittles are...
Well, that's a
little, I believe Skittles are all the same flavor. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. They're different colored, but they're all the same flavor. They're Skittle flavor.
You're breaking my heart,
no,
man.
No, I think that's the case.
I'm giving up Skittles, son.
How about Hubba Bubba soda? That sounds disgusting.
Bubblegum flavored soda.
Yeah. Well, they've had that before. And again, one of the reasons why when we talk about this topic about 80s snack stuff is because this was when I was working at the Jewels. All of this stuff came out at that time. I remember Hubba Bubba soda. This is definitely a snack-appropriate beverage, but you shouldn't be surprised to hear that it didn't survive through the 90s. Created in 1987, Hubba Bubba was exactly that. It was soda that tasted like bubblegum. Business Insider also reports that the soda was pink in color, which makes sense. Never got a chance to try this one out, but I'm betting it tasted very similar to a toothache. I don't think I ever tried Hubba Bubba soda. It just did not appeal to me. How about Smurfberry Crunch cereal? According to Red Tricycle, all you need for a totally tubular breakfast was a bowl of Smurfberry Crunch. While the cereal wasn't really as popular as the show, just looking at the box tastes like being a kid. Beyond being a fun, fruity breakfast treat, the boxes, which hit shelves in 1983 and were advertised during all your childhood shows, included a glow-in-the-dark pack of stickers. Smurfberry Crunch. Who wants to eat a Smurf? So, all right. The weirdness of 80s snacks and drinks continues. And we love having some fun talking about it. So, all right. All right, so here's the deal. We're going to take a break. We got the news coming up. And then after the break, John Nichols is going to join us from Voices of the City, a really, really interesting project that we will learn all about. And you can check out voicesofthecity.net for more information. And John will be live in studio. He's in the PPG Paints Green Room right now. And we'll break here for the news, and we'll come back and talk about that.
Chicago.
The best spot I would love to go will be downtown Chicago.
Waterfall Glen.
I love Wrigley Field.
The Mile of Murals.
Chicago.
Like to visit Brookfield Zoo.
Chicago.
Navy Pier.
Chicago.
Chicago History Museum.
Chicago.
I love Hyde Park.
Chicago.
Green Valley Forest Preserve.
Chinatown. All right, what you're listening to is from Voices of the City, and welcome back, everybody. It's Nick DiGilio here. We're live in the Skyline Studio here on a Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up, and we're also going to be joined by our good friend Esmeralda Leon a little bit later on. But right now, we're going to talk about this project that you just heard a little sample of, and it's called Voices of the City. The website is voicesofthecity.net. And with us from Voices of the City, live in studio here, is John Nichols. John, welcome to the show.
How's it going? Thanks for having me.
Good, 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 good. So what's your background, man? Where are you from?
I'm originally from Oak Park. I have a background in music composition, and now I work in theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I still work in music composition as well, so I'm having a great time in the arts.
Yeah. You were telling me off the air that you were doing some theater. You enjoy that?
Absolutely. The people who work in theater, they're wonderful. And there's so many great shows happening in the city, and you're always coming into something new, so it's fun and it's exciting.
Yeah. I was in theater for many years here in the city, and I personally think that the best place to do theater, the best city to do theater in the world is Chicago. And I mean that even more than New York, because, you know, there are theaters everywhere in this city that range from little storefronts. I mean, there's hundreds of theater companies and hundreds of projects that are happening. It's the best way to work at your craft is in this city.
There are over 200 theaters in the Chicago area.
Yeah.
So it's astounding.
Yeah.
And there's so many new works happening all the time, too. So it's really encouraging to see, you know, all the fresh creativity that's happening in the city.
Yeah, so many. There's a wealth of talent here. I've seen it firsthand, and have interviewed a bunch of people who have done theater, and it's always great. And so many of the people who have gone on to great success started out here. You got guys like Michael Shannon, who, you know, Oscar nominated, been in a bunch of big movies, and he still comes back to Chicago to do shows at his theater company. That has 65 seats in the house. And this guy was an Academy Award nominated actor, has been in millions of movies. He comes back and that's his passion. So
absolutely. And, you know, Steppenwolf, have you heard that they have like a new multi-million-dollar project happening? And they're doing serious, but that's a big theater. But
yeah,
like you said, there's so many theaters, you know.
Yeah. Well, again, Steppenwolf started out a second floor of a church or basement. Sorry, church basement. That's where Steppenwolf started. And now they own Halsted Street. So, but anyway, it's a fun city to work in that regard. Okay, so how did Voices of the City start? Tell us all about it. It's an interesting project. Tell me about it.
Voices of the City. It was kind of capricious. It was I was at an event, working an event. I also work in corporate theater, so I do all kinds of different events.
Yeah.
And I came across Congressman Danny K. Davis, the honorable congressman, and I was just talking to him about. I guess the segregation that exists in the city of Chicago. And I said, what do you think about this project? And it was instantaneous at that moment. I was just like, what if we record people around the city of various demographics, different racial backgrounds, ask them what their favorite place is, something that everybody has in common, and create some artwork out of it that focuses on the human voice, emphasizes the human voice, and then broadcast that on public transit to promote more travel to these different areas to try to break down boundaries. He liked the idea. He said, I'll write you a recommendation letter. I got in contact with Pace Suburban Bus and sort of went from there.
Oh, that's great, man. That's great. I mean, right out of the gate, it was accepted.
I called Pace, and it was incredible. T.J. Ross was the president of Pace at that point, and he was with them for so many years and did a lot of great things for them. And by the way, Pace Suburban Bus is fantastic. It's been excellent working with them. They've been a willing participant in the project from day one, so they're totally behind it, and I'm so grateful for that. I called, and I just got through to T.J. Ross, the president of Pace, and he loved the project, and he said, yeah, let's do it. So I've been working with them since... Let's see. That must have been like maybe May of last year. We recorded myself and some team members. We would go out on the street and we just record people in all kinds of different neighborhoods. So we went from the South Side all the way through Hyde Park to the North Side to the suburbs to Oak Brook, out to Lombard, Rogers Park, pretty much everywhere. Markham, everywhere that we could get, Chinatown, naturally, downtown, a couple different, you know, as many different places as we could get, also in the suburbs like Glen Ellen, and to collect as much diversity as we could Of course, we couldn't hit all of the 77 neighborhoods. And then how many suburbs are there? There's 200 suburbs or something like that.
Right.
It'd be great to get those suburbs. The project's still going. So eventually we collected about 350 different people. And if you look at the website, voicesofthecity.net, you could look at data, that tab, and that will show you where all the things that we collected. But if you go to the website, voicesofthecity.net, and click on video, that's the current project. So now what we're doing is, it used to be only audio. Now we've added video to it. So people who are riding the bus, or anybody really, can watch the video for instructions for a chance to win 30 free rides on public transit.
Wow.
So watch that video.
So you can check it out on our, and we have, by the way, we have it linked up on our Facebook page if people want to check it out there too at facebook.com/NickDShow. We have a link right to the website.
Yep. And the project's on Facebook too, is Voices of the City Project. So you can check us out on Facebook, give us a like, or send a comment, or tell us what your favorite place is in the Chicago area. People are really willing and very positive, most of them. Of course, there are some, what should I say, more interesting interactions with people on the street. I mean, you're talking to so many different people.
Yeah.
But it was exciting. It was overall a very positive experience, and collected a lot of different voices. Combine those voices. You just heard of some. You heard some of it. And this project has gone through multiple phases, because at first it was like a barrage of different neighborhoods when it was purely audio. Now if you look at the website and you see the video, there's also that video component, you know, so it kind of flashes through different places, like Brookfield Zoo, for example. There's different imagery, or Mile of Murals, there's different imagery. And these organizations were really helpful, because I contacted them all, and they gave us custom images that we could use in the video. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty exciting. And then that's on Pace, just started last week, that they published the ads on their buses, so people can scan in. So it's interactive. You can scan in with a QR code, or you can go directly to the website.
Okay. Well, you know, so this start, you said it started a year ago, May. That's how long ago it started. So
yeah.
And how many people are working on this with you? Like you said, you had a team of people who go out. How many people are kind of working on it with the website and with the project itself?
Well, not that many. You know, I have some associates that help me here and there, so I'm really thankful for them. But just a couple of dedicated souls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so when you go out to actually, you said you've had some interesting conversations with people. When you go out and you approach them, what's the general sort of, has anybody been sort of like, what is this? What's, do you have to explain everything to them while you're recording them?
Yeah, we just say, hey, how's it going? We're working on an art project. We want to record as many voices as possible around the city. And we're trying to collect 1,000 voices. And what's your favorite place in the city?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they have to sign a waiver, you know, to allow me to use their voice and all of that. But at first it was like, is this going to work? Are people really going to record? But, you know, I'm out there with the headphones, so I'm the recording engineer. And then typically, or hopefully, a team member is there to help,
mm-hmm.
you know, an administrator. So I think when people see the headphones, they see I have a boom stand with a microphone to get the best possible recording, you know. So when they see that, I think they realize, okay, well, they're doing a serious project, and they don't actually know what we're doing. They think maybe we're filming, but we tell them, no, we're not filming. We're just recording your voice, and that's what this project is about.
Mm-hmm. And that seems to be, and you've gotten over 350 voices at this point.
Yes, over 350.
How often do you go out and record?
Well, actually, we haven't gone out too often. We've been working, last summer we went out a lot, you know, probably around 10 times. This summer, maybe we'll go out again, but, it's been more about getting the project to actually, to get aired and get published. Mm-hmm. So the first time it was aired, it was in January. So it was the bulk of, you know, last year I was trying to get this whole thing going.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of moving parts. So, and then we started, published the first couple pieces, and then changed it around, you know, because of course, when you first do something, you realize, okay, how can we make this better?
Right.
And we wanted to add that video component to it. So then it was getting the video, and that took a couple of months, to get that going, you know, and 350 responses is like a huge wealth of information.
Yeah.
So it hasn't really become necessary to record more yet. But it's always fun to go out, so we'll probably do it again maybe in later this month or
and
September.
And who does the editing? Because obviously that the piece that we heard had to be cut and edited and things like that.
Yes, I do the editing, and all of the sounds that you heard are sampled from the human voice.
Mm-hmm.
So all the things in the beat, all of that, every single sound that you heard was taken from the voice. For the bass, it was from the word Chicago. The syllable go was taken and transposed down several octaves. And then for the hi-hat sound, it was the ch sound from, so everything's from the actual word Chicago, taken from different people's voices and then transformed, sampled and transformed to create something that's hopefully coherent.
That's pretty cool. That's very cool. So people can hear this on Pace, Pace Transportation.
They can hear it wherever they want. But yes, Pace has agreed to put up an ad that's on their buses where passengers can scan directly to the video, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But anyone can look it up at voicesofthecity.net and just click on video, which is right on the top of the page, or go onto YouTube and look up Voices of the City 30 Rides Project.
Mm-hmm.
It is the 30 Rides Project. We want to promote inclusiveness. So that's what it's all about. And people have, it started last week. People are starting to enter the contest and trickle in, so we'll see. And September 30th, we're going to have hopefully a random drawing. So somebody's going to win a Ventra card with 30 free rides
on it.
That's
great, man.
And that's going to go every single month until February 1st.
Okay. All right. And again, this is at voicesofthecity.net, which we also have linked up on our Facebook page. So if you just go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow, there's a direct link right there. John, hang on a second, okay? We're going to come back and talk a little bit more with John Nichols from Voices of the City. Voicesofthecity.net is the website for the project that you can check out. All right, we'll talk more right after this on 720 WGN. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Skyline studio here on the 18th floor downtown. We're here till 5 a.m. It is Friday. That means all the regular Friday features, Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, all coming up. And also, Esmeralda Leon is going to join us. Esmeralda was on the show for a few years doing traffic for us, and we love to have her, since she left, we love to have her back on pretty regularly. So she's going to be here after 2 o'clock to hang out with us all morning long. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's what's coming up here on the show, so stay tuned for all of that. Let's welcome back my guest here live in studio is John Nichols from Voices in the City. Voicesinthecity.net is the website where you can check out all the information. And so welcome back, man.
Thank you.
So what are, you get responses from people when you record these things. When you ask people, what are the questions that you ask most of the time?
What's your favorite place?
Your favorite place?
Yeah, your favorite location in the city or the suburbs?
Do you get a lot of repeats? Do a lot of people, like, has there been, like, more popular places than others that have popped up?
Yeah, sure. There's some pretty popular places, like Navy Pier is a pretty popular one. Mm-hmm. Or Museum Campus, or all the museums that are there. Museum of Science and Industry is very common. Or the Art Institute is also fairly common. The Lake is pretty common. But everybody loves the lake. I mean, who doesn't like the lake?
Yeah.
The Skyline was one that I really liked. I actually met somebody who said that they enjoy their favorite places being stuck in a traffic jam.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, because on 90 or in 90-94, because they look at the Skyline. I've never heard of anybody enjoying getting stuck in a traffic jam before.
Well, these are something pretty to look at. That's I guess they're looking at it's a person with a glass half full attitude instead of a glass half empty.
That's for sure.
So it's like, oh, it's really great to be in this traffic jam so I can look at the Hancock Building.
Yeah.
Which is great.
Yes. And then, some very unique responses, like one person likes to be at a specific type of lily pond somewhere in Lincoln Park. Or other people like to smoke on different certain steps at DePaul University and things of this nature. So it's pretty much everything, Some people just say that they like to be at their own home. I don't know how I feel about that response, I'm kind of looking for something more.
Well, sure.
At the same time, maybe that is your favorite place.
Yeah.
And then they're seasonal dependent too, of course, because we have all the seasons here right now. It's summer. So my favorite place right now is going to be an outdoor pool.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Yeah. And I heard on the first collage that we played, on that collage that we played, I heard a mention of Wrigley Field, which at this time,
yes,
which at this time of year is, you know, a magnificent place to be.
Absolutely. Wrigley Field is a very common, well, not very common, but it's a fairly common, you know, answer because it's one of the main attractions in Chicago. It's a mm-hmm. great place. Probably more common than, what is it, Comiskey Park, Scott Sox
it's
Park?
It's a guaranteed rate.
Yes.
Guaranteed rate field is what it's called now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Called Guaranteed Rate Field.
Guaranteed Rate Field. Okay, that's
yeah.
interesting.
Yeah.
It's always changing, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's because U.S. Cellular is not around anymore. So they're not. So they had to, you know, be bought by a different company.
And we still hold on to the Sears Tower. Because,
yeah, it's,
you know,
the, it's not the Willis. It's
no.
not, and the Hancock Building is always going to be the Hancock Building. You're not going to change that. You're not going to change that about Chicagoans. They're not going to refer to it as that.
Did they change the Hancock Building?
They are something? Going to, yes.
Oh my goodness!
Yes.
Well, that's news.
Yeah. It's not going to change. You know, people. And people
no.
refer to Jewel as the Jewels here in Chicago.
Yeah.
If you don't
call it the Jewels, I mean, what are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody knows what you're talking about.
So you got this connection with Pace. You're trying to work with CTA as well.
Yes, I've been in contact with CTA and also the Department of Aviation. So we're kind of experimenting and hopefully branching out. But yeah. Something could happen with CTA. CTA is a little bit different, you know, so, yeah.
Yeah, so, and the overall idea is to bring people together, people from the suburbs and people from the city, and bring them all together, all ethnicities and all that kind of stuff, right?
Yes, coming together through the power of voice,
mm-hmm.
Because all of these different voices of people who are from different neighborhoods or different areas that might not usually... going to be side by side the way that they are now put side by side.
Right, right. And how has this been going over, like, with people on Pace? Has it been? Have you been getting feedback from people about the project?
We just started the project with the video like last week.
Oh,
so
okay. So it's brand new. Then
it's fresh.
Yeah.
It is totally fresh. So get on to voicesofthecity.net and watch the video. Get the instructions to enter and have a chance to get 30 free rides if you take public transit. Yeah, and we'll see what happens. It's definitely an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
So
what do you see going forward now? What's like the next step? You guys are at a certain point now. What do you look for the future of Voices in the City? Voices of the City.
Well, hopefully we'll have the chance to create more products, you know, more creative works, if it goes well, you know, and more samples and see what else we can do with these voices and mix and match them, and mm-hmm. then get to the 1,000 voice goal would be great, of course.
And you want to get to, like you were talking about, you had specific locations, but you guys want to try even more because there's so many places where you can stop somebody on the street or in a neighborhood somewhere and chat. So you guys want to cover more ground too, right?
Absolutely. There are so many places, and there are so many languages. That's the other area that we're that I'm working on, is trying to collect the 11 main languages that people who enter the airport speak in. So that's a future direction.
Oh, that's
that we're moving in.
Yeah, that would be cool. That
yep.
would be really, really cool. Very cool. Have you ever thought about going out to the airport? Have you guys gone out to the airport? Because you're catching people from around the world at that point, maybe.
We went out to the airport to sort of do a reconnaissance mission.
Sure,
not, that's the wrong term, but
no, I understand what you're saying.
Just kind of see if it would be possible,
right?
But you know, there's a lot of security at the airport, and it might work out.
Yeah,
but we have not recorded at the airport. There's also a lot of noise from planes that destroys all the recordings.
Right,
if you want to get clean recordings, you know.
Right,
but that's pretty much impossible on the street. But you can. It depends. Sometimes you can clean them up.
Okay. All right. Well, for people who want to check this out and be a part of it, it's Voices of the City, voicesofthecity.net. And again, there's a video there that they can go to, and there's a chance to win 30 free rides, correct?
30 free rides, a pre-filled venture card.
A pre-filled venture card
yeah.
for you. Okay, very cool. All right, John, real pleasure to talk to you, man. And Voices of the City continues, and you can check it out. There's all the explanation of the mission statement, what it is, and videos and audio, it's all there. It's at voicesofthecity.net. voicesofthecity.net, and you can also check it out on our Facebook page, which is linked up to the website. John, pleasure to meet you, man.
Thank you so much.
Good luck with the continuing project. That's Voices of the City, voicesofthecity.net. And again, we have a link on our Facebook page so that you can check it out. All right, we are going to take a break here on 720 WGN. When we come back, we got the news. And then after the news, Esmeralda will be here, and we'll have Esmeralda Leon back here in the studio, and she'll be with us throughout the morning. All right, we'll break here on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everyone. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here. We're the in the WGN Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. We got all of our regular free features coming up. Straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and Fly Jams Friday. Get your request in at 312-981-7200. And I want to welcome back into the studio here. Esmeralda Leon. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
It's good to see you.
Oh, thanks.
It's always great to see you. And you brought me some meat.
I did.
Of that,
some sausages.
We might have to explain. You know, for people who might not know this, there is a guy who, who we call Sergeant Slaughter, wears like a white, like butcher's coat.
Yes.
Drives a van.
Yes.
And stops at bars, walks in quietly, cuts up a bunch of sausages and cheese and hot mustard and stuff, leaves it out for the bar patrons. They eat, and then they eventually spend money. He'll hand out the menus.
Yes, and he has a fridge in the truck.
Right.
And like a big old refrigerated
and I've spent a lot of money over the years of hanging out in bars buying from Sergeant Slaughter.
Yeah.
But you brought me some
Because you don't go to bars anymore.
I do not go to bars anymore.
You can enjoy some salami.
Absolutely. And I appreciate that. Thank you very much. How is he doing? How is
old
Sergeant Slaughter doing?
He looks good.
Yeah.
He had a helper with him. I'm assuming
really?
It's his son.
He had a help. I've never seen him.
I think it's his son.
Okay.
He looked like a gangly kid.
Gangly kid? Did he have a big square jaw?
No.
Oh, okay.
You would think, right?
You would, yeah, you would
think. Or he'd make him put on army fatigues.
Exactly. Well, I appreciate the sausage.
No,
I appreciate that. How you been?
I've been good.
Yeah? What's been going on?
Oh, not much. I did I was in here in the daytime.
Uh-oh.
A little earlier this week. I was on a Legal Face-Off podcast.
Oh.
Because I'm of legal things.
What?
I don't know. No, they're the it's Tina Martini Rich Lenkov.
Yeah.
Two lawyers talk about lawyer things.
Well, what were you doing on it?
I was in the legal grab bag bit where they just talk about stories and stuff, so they had me on as a talking head.
Oh.
I was a talking head.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was exciting.
That's crazy. What's it like to be here during the day?
It's weird. There's a mural on one of these buildings that I'd never noticed.
Really? outside of this, outside of our studio?
Yeah,
not A?
Yeah, no, we were in here, and
okay.
It's the buildings, one of those buildings. There's a gorgeous mural on
a
wall.
You can't see it now.
Up in the roof, I know. I saw it, I was like, I thought it was just darkness over
there.
I've
never seen that before, because it's so dark outside at 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, was that fun?
Yeah, that was real fun.
You know, I got to tell you, I've never been here. We've been here well over a year now. We moved in June of last year. I have never been here later than 7:30 in the morning.
Well, and the sun's out.
And before 10 p.m.? No, that 8 p.m. is the... Because when did we interview Zemeckis? That was
an 8:30, I want to say. 8:30.
So that's the earliest. That's the earliest I've been here. And the latest I've stayed is 7:30 in the morning. So in between that time, I've never seen the sales or the other.
Yeah, there's a lot of people just wandering around that I have no clue.
They look at you funny. I was here.
They look at you too, which is
I was here yesterday morning until about 10 o'clock. We finished the show and I was here until 10 o'clock in the morning taking care of things. And of course, I don't dress like the rest of them do. So I was wearing like a shirt with Bart Simpson on it and torn up jeans.
Yeah.
And I was walking around. They looked at me like I was Oliver Twist.
Well, that's the
be like, I do radio, man.
No, that's the thing. The overnight, you know, I'm wearing a Snake Plissken t-shirt and a Hawks hat right now and a pair of shorts. I don't dress, you know, for work.
Well, dress for comfort.
I definitely, when I was working the afternoons, I would dress.
Yeah, nice. Differently, of course.
I would dress nicer.
I think that absolutely makes sense.
And then overnight,
I
just rolled in.
Yeah.
Wearing just onesies and pajamas.
Right. It's a different world, man. It really is. So Esmeralda's here. She's going to be here all morning long if you guys want to say hi to her or send a text or something, because we love Esmeralda. And it's Esmeralda, you can send us a text at 312-981-7200 or call us up, 312-981-7200. So what's work like for you?
Good.
Yeah? Yeah?
It's just a regular old people job.
Yeah, so you got a regular people job now.
Yeah.
You have to work in the morning?
Not this morning, no.
Okay, so you're off on
Friday.
Yeah,
I take the day off. I can't.
You can't do that.
I can't. It's too much.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I can't be up all night.
No, not anymore.
Yeah.
You used to have to do it every day.
Right. Well, I have to take naps now.
Uh-huh.
It's not, yeah. It's like a normal person.
Now, what about V? What are his hours like?
He works in a restaurant, so he's up.
Late night guy.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Up all night.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'd come home when I was here. I'd come home and he'd just be up playing video games.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, oh, you want to go get breakfast?
Yeah.
But now I'm like, I'm sleeping and he's playing video games. So now I have to yell at him.
Yeah, just
a lot.
Smokey.
Oh, she's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was,
Her cat.
Yes. She was lying on a pile of blankets.
Okay.
One night I left her.
Okay. You know what we were talking about? We were talking about, those stupid trends that people would do in social media, like dance outside of the car to a Drake song, or planking, or, you know, doing that, like the Tide Pod, we talked about these topics, and there were so many of them, and they were so stupid. So many of them were just
because there's one weekly.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, and each one is dumber than the next, and stupid and more dangerous than the next.
Yeah, those are my favorites. The people who fail.
Yeah.
The ones who
There's
fail.
There's a lot of that. The cinnamon challenge with
the
teaspoon of cinnamon where people are coughing up powder, you know, and guys getting hit by cars because they're dancing to a Drake song.
You know me. I love when people fall.
I know you do. I know you do. But one of the trends that popped up was the cats and the cucumbers.
The cucumbers, yeah.
Right.
She didn't care.
Absolutely. I know. And I was telling, you know, we were talking about it, how, like, I don't think it's, I mean, maybe it's funny to see a cat jump 5 feet in the air, but you're freaking the cat out. And that's not cool. Don't freak your cat out. Just let him be.
Mine was just like, I don't know what that is.
But that was the thing. You did it for Smokey because we were talking about it on the air. I was like, Esmeralda did it to her cat. And the video of it is hilarious because she puts the cucumber down behind Smokey as Smokey is eating.
She's eating, yeah.
She turns around and looks at the thing and goes, yeah, it's great.
And then goes
really
back to eating.
It's a computer. Or it's a computer. It's a cucumber.
She could have made
She could have thought it was a computer.
She don't know.
She doesn't know what a computer is.
She doesn't know what the word computer is.
But so Smokey's doing good then.
Yeah.
All right. Very, very good. Very, very cool. So what have you been up to? Have you seen, I always ask you if you've seen any movies. Can you?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you see?
So V is, V wants me to watch all the Fast and Furious movies.
Yeah.
And I've gotten through the first one.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Well, one, I had to ask him after the fact, and I was like, so wait, is it okay to spoil?
Oh, God, yes.
When did that movie come out?
2001.
2001.
Yeah.
So 2000 fashion.
We're fine.
It was great to see that. No, but you know, at the end, that guy gets shot.
Uh-huh.
The guy in the Jetta.
Okay.
So at the end, one of his crew members gets shot. The other one's like his arms all tore up.
Right.
They don't mention them again, ever.
That's because they're brothers now, man.
But that's what I mean. Like, I was so in the second one, they you know, tie these ends up.
The second one sucked.
Don't you dare. Too Fast, Too Furious.
Is that Singleton directed that one?
Yeah.
That's a terrible movie.
Oh, what are you talking
about?
What are you talking about?
It's the only one in the series that I actively dislike is the second one. I even like Tokyo Drift more than the second one.
I've only gotten the first one and then a little bit of the second one because I wanted to see what if they tied anything up, which they didn't.
No.
And
don't look for anything to be tied up or logic of any kind when you're watching those
movies.
I looked
it up in Wikipedia and there's actually a short film, 6 minutes long, that explains what happens to him that then to continue into the second movie, which is literally just B-roll from the first movie.
Is
and
this just
clips
for,
of them driving around?
Is this exclusively for Fast and the Furious completists?
Yes. Well, I've got the box set.
Good.
It's on, the on there. Yeah, yeah.
It's on there. It's like it's great.
Fast and Furious short movie something or other. It's
there's
very...
a few of them. There's a few of them that show the connective tissue between the franchise.
There's so no connective
it's
tissue.
It's sad that they have to put these in like little 6 minute bits to explain.
Do,
yeah,
you do,
oh, and then he drives away, and then
you do realize, night. Tom, that those movies are unbelievably stupid.
They're also brilliant.
Well, I love them.
Justin Lin is a
really
god.
They're really really stupid.
I know, but there are storylines. Things are happening.
I don't care.
Yeah, but what happened to those two?
I just want to see cars smash things. That's what I watch. I want to hear Vin Diesel say "family" 600 times, and I want to see cars get smashed. And I want to see Michelle Rodriguez. That's the only things I want to see when I see a Fast and Furious.
I was just amazed that they've been able to. I mean, they're
well, the
all
new one,
criminals.
The Hobbs and Nobbs.
Hobbs and Nobbs
is out now, not doing as well as the other ones.
Well, I'm confused. Well, no, I read the thing, but he's the terrorist brother who wanted revenge, and now
yeah,
he's
showed. Which one does Statham show up at the end of?
He shows up at the end
the
of...
the fourth one, right?
Of
the fourth one.
No. He shows up at the end of 6 because he's the villain of 7.
Okay,
I'm just amazed. That so he's 9 movies. There's gonna be 9.
Well, Hobbs and Nobbs is 9.
Yeah.
Oh, so then it'll be 10 because they're coming out with another one.
Yeah. Well, that's an actual Fast and the Furious movie. The Hobbs and Nobbs. It's Hobbs and what's it? Hobbs and Shaw.
It's Deckard Shaw.
Yeah, I don't know the characters' names. It's two bald idiots. That's what it is. It should have been called two bald idiots.
Two bald idiots.
Yeah. So
that's the
Hobbs
TV
and,
series.
Hobbs and Nobbs is not really a Fast and Furious movie. So Fast and Furious is Fast and Furious 9. Yeah, it's Fast and Furious present Hobbs and Nobbs.
That's a good way to get money.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious presents.
Well, they're going to I know they're going to continue to make these movies. Well, they just made the other. You know, they just the next one's coming out in the summer.
Yeah. So I have to catch up.
You got?
I've only gotten the one.
Now, you know what?
And the short film.
Yeah. I don't know. This
you're in for a hell of a ride.
I would not get hung up on details. Just like, hey.
I mean, there was a lot where I'm just like, wait, how did that even?
I don't even. Yeah. They jump cars from skyscrapers to skyscrapers. There's nothing logical or realistic about any frame of any of the movies. And the first movie is a total ripoff of Point Break.
Yes.
It's the same movie.
Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery.
Except surfing, instead of surfing, it's cars.
I did make that, and I was like, oh, so Paul, what's his face? He's the Johnny Utah.
Paul Walker is the Johnny Utah character, and Vin Diesel is Bodie, God forbid.
Steal cars or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but anyway. All right. Well, I'm glad that you're diving into to good cinema. did you happen to you don't have the cables?
No, but you know what? I just saw What We Do in the Shadows. They just put it on Hulu.
The TV show?
Yes.
How hilarious is it?
It's so good.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
So good.
I thought it was I laughed harder at that show than anything else this season.
Yeah.
I feel terrible because I can't remember the actress's name. I love her. The female.
Oh yeah, I don't know her name.
She's so funny. Everybody's funny on
right,
the show.
Yeah.
But yeah. How much have you seen?
I watched it all.
Okay, so you saw the one with all the fantastic all the cameos?
Yes.
Tilda Swinton,
yeah.
Wesley Snipes via Skype. And
I just do love that they're all in the vampire character
that they
played.
Yeah. I loved that. I mean, like every cameo, the actual guys from from What We Do in the Shadows come back as their characters.
That Baron, though, was cracking me up.
Yeah. Oh, it's fantastic. No, that show's great. But speaking of FX shows, Last Night Baskets ended.
No. Oh, no, I saw you posted that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they keep suggesting I watch that.
You should watch it. It's great. But it ended. It was no more. Last night was the final episode.
Although that's probably for the best, right?
Because I guess. I don't know. I would have loved to have
end
kept
on
it
a
going.
High note.
They did end on a high note. And it ended on a very... I mean, I cried at the end of it. I thought it was beautiful. But it's just disappointing because I really love that show. And I love everything about it, and I love how weird it is, and how funny it is, and how moving it is. But they ended it on a stellar, high emotional note. So, but I'm sad it's not going to be on anymore. Anyway. All right, hang on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I have to take a break. You remember those.
Yes. How does this work?
How does that work again? So Esmeralda is here. If you guys want to jump in to say hi or send us a text or whatever, it's 312-981-7200. Slap Slap leaves on the way.
Oh.
In his private jet.
It was a jet?
Yeah. He has he's a jet. Yeah, not a shark.
He's a jet man.
and so he'll land on the roof and we'll play a little For the Record. That's coming up later. Oh, boy. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? We're live in the WGN Skyline studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It's Friday morning. All the regular Friday features will be coming up. And Esmeralda Leon is in-house. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hello.
We'll play a little round of For the Record coming up. And we're back. We have some texts.
Oh.
And if you guys want to call or text us here, it's 312-981-7200. Sam says, hi, Esmeralda. It's great to hear you. We miss you.
Oh, hi, Sam.
312 area code says, hello.
Say hi to everybody.
Hello, Ez. With six Zs.
Wow.
Three of which are capital.
Oh.
And an exclamation point.
Mm.
Great to hear you again on WGN.
Oh, thank you.
And you can hear that podcast.
Yes.
Lawyer, Legal Face Off. Lawyer Village.
Lawyer Village.
Right. Sue says, hi, Nick, Esmeralda, and everyone. Great to hear you, Esmeralda. I have to ask you, do you still buy things? Like goofy stuff. Like, yeah, would Esmeralda buy just, that?
Yeah. I'm trying to think if I haven't bought anything.
Anything goofy?
Anything goofy. I mean, I've been buying skincare products that are weird just because they're just inherently odd things.
Well, what?
Well, one's it's a acid. It's a chemical peel. Yes.
Oh, that you put on, like you put on your face.
And it's red. So when you put it on,
you look like a demon.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's cool.
You look like, you know, you have the, and I posted on Insta, I put a story up. I was like, blood of virgins or my enemies? Like, which one is it? But yeah, it's just all red. So you just kind of look like a crazy person. Yes. It burns, so.
Oh, well, it's doing something.
Yeah, it means it's working.
The burning sensation is always a good sign.
Right.
Yeah, especially when you're peeing. That's the best, the best, the best.
That's how you know you're alive.
Mark the Bread Man says, Esmeralda brightens up my Friday. Thank you.
Aw.
And Sergeant Sausage Joe Pearl. That's his name, Joe Pearl. P-E-R-L.
Yes.
Joe Pearl is a legend. Some of the best Wisconsin cheese and atomic horseradish.
It cracks me up, his menu. So he has a menu, and on it there is an emergency sausage number.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Yes, there is. Now, but pescatarian here, so can't comment on the meats.
Well, they're delicious.
They are delicious. Well, I'll have yours. I only see them at Bringer Inn.
Okay. I don't know where that is.
I don't know where that is either. But I used to see him, Simon's, Ricochet's.
Yeah.
Those are the...
He's everywhere, but you don't know.
Yeah.
He's everywhere and nowhere.
That's right, because he's Sergeant Sausage.
Yeah, he just shows up and
then if it's not Sergeant Sausage, you can get, if Sergeant Sausage doesn't stop by, the tamale guy might.
Right.
You know?
I haven't been to many bars lately, but I remember there was a sandwich guy. There's another tamale guy.
Yeah, there are a couple tamale guys.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just love, you know, the tamale guy, tamale, tamale, yeah. And he would just walk. He's got his cooler.
They were burning hot.
Always.
I don't understand how he kept them hot. He told me once, well, he didn't tell me. He just told me that he has ways to keep them warm. And
I can't tell
his
you
proprietary information.
No, but they're very warm. They're hot. Yeah,
they're crazy warm.
I can't tell you the number of times I would just eat them at the bar.
Oh, yeah. No,
sometimes
I'd
bring
like
them home.
Cold.
Sometimes I would bring them home.
I never ate
them in the
cold.
Microwave. But no, I ate them. I would sit right at the bar and say, oh, yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the more I would buy, the drunker I was, the more I would buy. Because they were $5 for five, right?
Yeah, I think they upped a little bit at six.
Oh, okay.
At one point, six for five.
Okay.
Yeah, still a deal.
Oh, absolutely.
Crazy.
And they're good. The tamales are really good.
Yeah. I always got the pork. Pork with the red sauce.
Me too. Me too.
Chicken's a little dry.
Yeah, no, I went with pork. I used to go with the pork all the time. And do we know where they were made?
So the story is his sister used to make them, and then there was some kind of drama that happened.
Oh, no.
And then
tamale drama?
Yeah, and then her husband the sister's husband started selling those.
Uh-oh.
Oh, it's because she wasn't putting enough meat in them. She was being stingy with the meat.
Oh, stingy with the meat.
So now his wife, as of the last time I talked to him, his wife was making them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if the I haven't had them in a long time, so I don't know if the quality has dropped, but they were quite good when I was eating them.
Yeah. No, they were. Every time I had them, they were delicious.
And they were always like the... I don't know how he timed it. So, like, he would time... Every time he would come into whatever bar I was in, particularly Ricochet's, he would always time it at the time of the great... Right at where my buzz was. You know what I mean? Like, right where I was like...
Well, he is a seasoned professional.
Exactly. But right where I was drunk enough to just go, oh, yeah, tamale. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When you're like, I'm hungry.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, bling, he just comes in.
Just the magic tamale man would show up and go, are you psychic?
When I worked at the bar, there was always the problem with me was... The other guy would come in first, and sometimes the original tamale guy would not come in, and then so I had to make the hard decision: do I want to buy these tamales
or hope that the real tamale guy comes in, the original tamale guy.
Sometimes I chose wrong.
Yeah, well, sometimes you just got to have a tamale.
I know. I was like, I'm hungry.
I don't think I can wait for the original tamale dude. I think I just need a tamale in my belly.
Because sometimes he would let me down.
I wasn't aware that there was tamale drama. That's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't.
Yeah, there's a lot of drama.
Yeah. They should make an FX series out of that. Tamale drama.
I'll let them know.
Yeah, make
sure. Next time I see him.
All right. All right, Esmeralda, hang on, okay? Esmeralda, Leon is here. We're hanging out. We're going to play a little For the Record. We got some other fun stuff to talk about. And if you guys want to jump in with a talk or a text, it's 312-981-7200. The news is coming up after this. One day I read they found a body in the river. Tiki God, why you make a shake, you make a shiver. All right. Right. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we're here till 5 a.m. It's Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, and all that stuff. And Esmeralda Leon is here.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, and Vic is here. You know,
I know. We don't hate each other, despite him never being here when I'm here.
The last two times that you joined us, Vic conveniently wasn't here. So, but you're here. You're here this morning. And Vic is still going through that top 100 album list,
so
we'll check in with him at 3:30.
Very good.
For Vic's picks for the we got two albums to talk about this morning, as Vic continues his musical education.
Oh, good.
But so that's coming up, and all the regular Friday features, and we're going to play around it For the Record.
Yes,
which is a fun music trivia game. We'll do that in just a few minutes because I understand that Slap Slaply. Mm-hmm. Is about to land the jet.
Oh, good.
So, and then we'll get to For the Record. Are you aware of the Popeye's chicken sandwich mania?
Yeah. I saw a big old line in the, whatever, the Ogilvy food court for the Popeye's.
Well,
it's crazy. I didn't know it was happening.
No, it's, you might have heard now that Popeye's has released the new chicken sandwich. The takeout has raved about it. That's, of course, the website, The Takeout, which is a great website. Restaurant chains have either boosted or embarrassed themselves by arguing online over it. A large current percentage of your Twitter feed can't talk about anything else.
Yeah.
Across the United States, Popeye's fried chicken sandwich has revealed itself as perhaps the last great cultural unifier. Because people all over the country from all walks of life are having a hell of a time actually getting their hands on one. The mania for the Popeye's chicken sandwich has even reached the point where a guy in Maryland was briefly attempting to sell one online for $100.
Jeez.
Many stores have reportedly been running out of the sandwiches by midday. However popular the sandwich may have been expected to be, neither Popeye's nor the dining public were clearly ready for the sudden cultural phenomenon that it's turned into. Popeye's has yet to release any information about how well the sandwich has sold so far, or what magic it worked to turn a chicken sandwich into the temporary epicenter of American discourse.
Yeah, I'm curious, what is even...
I haven't had...
What makes it so special?
I don't know, except that Popeye's chicken is good.
I mean, yeah. But don't they have... I mean, they've had sandwiches.
They had a chicken sandwich. They've had chicken sandwiches before.
So what fancy...
Apparently not like this.
What are they? Yeah, but what is it?
Has anybody had this thing? I mean, people are going completely nuts over a chicken sandwich.
I almost went today
to get a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, but then I was like,
they're probably out of it.
Yeah, I was like, they'll probably line out the door.
I don't get it.
Is I don't need that. I would like to know what's the big old
Yeah, I totally agree, because they've had chicken sandwiches at Popeyes mm-hmm. before. This is nothing new. I don't understand what people are just going nuts over this chicken sandwich. It's different than the other chicken sandwich.
Right. I mean, there has to be something about it.
Yeah. People are going nuts.
All I know is I'm sure you'll get some crazy mouth beef.
Mouth beef?
It. What? What?
Mouth beef is when I had to look it up once.
Mouth beef?
Yes. It's when you eat something crispy, crunchy, and then it tears up the roof of your mouth. Oh.
That's called mouth beef?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
The kids call it mouth beef.
Mouth
is that
beef?
What they're calling it these
that
days?
That was my radio name in college. Yeah, mouth beef! Yeah! Mouth beef?
Yeah.
All right. Sounds like a band, doesn't it?
Mouth
like
beef? A... Yeah,
I'm going to see them this weekend. I'm going to see mouth beef at the Metro.
But yeah, I get it every time I eat fried chicken. No, yeah. Or
no, I yeah. I've had it. I've had several. Okay, is it different? Okay, is mouth beef different than what happens when you bite into something too hot and you get the?
I mean, that's just you've burnt your mouth.
Right, but it does you burn your mouth, but then it does kind of, you know, does kind of flake off. You know,
yeah, but I think that's yeah. just, but that's just, you know, blisters or so whatever.
Yeah, that's it. Well, but
this is literally tearing your
right. But I didn't know whether there was a special name for that.
There might be. I don't know.
For the mouth burn,
we'll look it up later.
Yeah, because you've got
that's what I did. I literally went. Is there a word for that when you
mouth beef?
And there is mouth beef. V doesn't understand what that is. He's like, I never get that. I'm like, what do you mean?
I do have the definition here for mouth beef.
Oh, okay.
So, a temporary but uncomfortable oral condition that occurs when consuming crunchy, sharp-edged food, mm-hmm. resulting in painful trauma to the roof of the mouth. Examples of common food items that cause mouth beef are antiseptically dry sourdough toast, tortilla chips, Cap'n Crunch.
Yep.
And pretty much anything that's going to have hard or crunchy.
I've had mouth beef on different occasions, and Doritos do it.
Mm-hmm.
Doritos definitely do it.
You sound so serious about that.
You know, they do.
I've had many a time mouth beef.
We were talking about, you know, like snacks that have disappeared that we don't have anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You remember 3D Doritos?
No. Weren't they just puffy Doritos?
Yeah, they were puffed up Doritos. I used to like those. They don't exist anymore, so but they would like, give you mouth beef.
Bugles?
Except
Bugles puffy?
They were Bugles puffy, but they were sealed. Like, Bugles is shaped like a bugle. This was like a puffed out.
Are they?
Yeah, it was like a triangular shaped.
Wait, is that why Bugles are named Bugles?
Yeah, because they look like a bugle. And you can stick them on your fingers.
Right, yeah, fingers.
They make them look like
nails.
Bugle nails.
It's a hot new trend.
A bugle manicure. Mm-hmm. That's what you. I want make my fingernails look like bugles. So, but yeah, so the people are going nuts over the chicken sandwich, and I don't quite understand. Has anybody had it? 312-981-7200. I know it's. I guess evidently it's difficult to find.
Right, but I mean somebody's buying them.
Somebody's got to have had one. What's the difference between this chicken sandwich and the other chicken sandwich?
Yeah, which I think. To, you know, how all the companies are fighting.
Yeah.
I haven't had all the chicken sandwiches of every restaurant, but I can say with confidence that I'm sure Popeyes has the best sandwich.
They have a great, I mean, I've had their chicken sandwich in the past, and it's very good. Popeyes chicken is great.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of chicken sandwiches in the past that I've had that I like Burger King chicken sandwich.
I haven't had Burger King in years.
You know, the tacos are back. Burger King tacos.
No.
Yeah, man.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
They're the epitome, like the Jack in the Box.
Yeah, I'm not gonna
the deep fried greasy tacos with the hard edge.
I'm not gonna.
They're the best.
To acknowledge the existence of a Burger King taco.
It's the only dollar.
Of course.
And Vic,
I'm amazed it's not cheaper.
Vic and I were screaming about how genius the Jack in the Box tacos are. And you can't get Jack in the Box tacos here because we don't have Jack in the Box
anymore.
Carl's
Jr. Here?
No. No Jack in the Box. No.
Oh, okay.
But we used to have Jack in the Box. There used to be a Jack in the Box. The one that I used to go to all the time was Addison and Western right across from Lane, which is now a Popeyes.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So that used to be a Jack in the Box. And the Jack in the Box tacos were fantastic. They were terrible. They were so good.
Ugh.
They were greasy and damp, and they were deep fried. Oh, they were the best. And then once we started talking about Jack in the Box tacos, because Vic came running over to the mic. and went to Jack in the Box tacos are the best. And we started talking about how they were great, and that the current Burger King taco for a dollar
is the same,
is exactly the same as the Jack in the Box taco. It's greasy and it's damp.
Does Jack in the Box make tacos anymore?
I'm sure they do, but we don't because they're legendary. They're legendary. Well,
West Coast.
Yeah, they're on the West Coast now. But the Jack in the Box taco is pretty legendary among fast food. Really, especially if you're loaded, like 2 o'clock in the morning. Jack in the Box tacos are fantastic.
I mean, yeah, that sounds about right.
But I like them sober. And the Burger King taco, I remember specifically going to the Burger King across the street from the City North Theater there on the Diversey, right by the expressway. And there's a Burger King across the street, or there used to be, or I don't know.
I think it's still there, yeah.
So the Burger King across the street. So I went in there, and I was like, oh, Burger King has tacos. This was years ago. And I was like,
that statement alone, Burger King has tacos.
Yeah, I'm going to try it. Mm-mm. And so I ordered a taco, and I looked, and first thing I did was when I pulled it out of the wrapper, I looked at it, and it looked exactly like a Jack in the Box taco, complete with the moisture grease in the middle.
It had a stamp in the middle, it's a Jack in the Box.
But it had that like moist middle, where the meat had been deep fried and the crust on the outside, and it was sealed. It wasn't like a regular, taco that you see.
Well, that's not a taco then.
I don't know what it is. Well, tacos at Taco Bell aren't tacos either. Like, fast food tacos aren't tacos. You know that. So anyway, I bit into it, and I'm like, oh my God, this is a Jack in the Box taco.
Did your eyes dilate?
Oh, absolutely. And I went out and got two more. So if you're getting the tacos, if you're getting the tacos at Burger King, and you used to love the Jack in the Box tacos, you're gonna get that treat. So, but yeah, I'm surprised those things haven't run out. Instead of the Popeye's chicken sandwich, I'm surprised that Burger King's tacos have not completely been depleted.
Yeah, they haven't. They didn't make quite a splash
as the Popeye's
chicken sandwich. Yeah, because they just brought them back, right?
The tacos?
Yeah.
Relatively recently. Yeah. Well, at least the ad campaign is recent.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the king walking around with a taco cart.
Right. Well, they got the veggie burger now. That's what they're...
That's the big thing that they're advertising.
Although I was just told by someone, they're not truly, like, for vegetarians because they're just covered in meat juice.
Well, that's what I was... The first thing that I thought of was... Is there a special grill just for the Impossible Burger? Do you know what I mean?
That's why it's so good, because it's covered in meat juice.
That's what I thought. I mean, it's got to be, because I was thinking, wait, it's Burger King. They're not going to have just a special grill for the veggie veggie burger. Yeah. It's going to be used in the same flame broiled grill that they use the meat.
Yeah. Although I've had the Impossible Burger, it's super delicious. I had it from N Burger. They have a version.
My old producer Dan Shagru had one at Howlsies and Hoodsies, the restaurant.
That's still there.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think there's anything in that building left.
Oh, that's right.
I mean, that building's being demolished. The Tribune building is being demolished, man.
From the inside.
Every time I go past it, I get sad. And I look, because you can see all the floors that go up. You can see it's gutted.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, ugh. Spent a lot of years in that building.
Yeah, now they're going to make it fancy pants, rich people apartments.
It's going to be $80,000 a month to live there.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Dan Shagru had one of those Impossible Burgers at the Halsey's and Hoodsey's.
Yeah.
And he said it was good. I didn't taste it, but he said it was good.
I wouldn't have noticed. I didn't know a difference.
Yeah. All right. Okay, see, now here we go. The Chicago Tribune has ranked chicken sandwiches.
Ah, okay.
Including Popeyes.
Yeah.
So, let's see. Before we get there, here's Glenn on WGN. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
What's up?
Number one, not much. Number one, I got to say, with Elvis Merelda on the radio, your listenership went up 1,000%.
Oh, come on now. It's because my mom's listening. And my dad. And my brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
And us. And the late night crew. I had the Burger King taco. Now, I'm not sure if it was because of our Burger King, but it sucked.
Why?
I was not impressed.
What was so bad about it?
I just was not impressed with it. I just, maybe it just didn't have enough hamburger in it. It was just like a fold-over taco. I mean, there was nothing in it.
Well, I don't know if it was your specific Burger King, but it's not really a taco. They throw a bunch of crap in a tortilla and then they deep fry it, and that's why it's so good.
But he didn't have enough crap.
Yeah,
there was not enough crap.
You wanted more crap in your... Okay, I got it now.
That's right.
All right.
I want crap in my tacos.
Exactly. All right, Glenn, cool. Thanks, man. Take care.
All right, have a nice morning.
All right, there you go. No, his complaint was there wasn't enough crap in his taco.
I mean...
Okay, are you ready for the rankings?
Yeah.
At the bottom, the McChicken from McDonald's.
I could see that. Although I enjoy a McChicken.
I do, too.
Very simple.
I like the McChicken. And then coming next, in they sampled 26 of them. Number 25
There's
coming
26?
In.
26?
26. Number 25 is the original chicken sandwich at Church's.
Oh, okay.
99 cents.
Oh, wow.
24, the spicy chicken at Checkers.
Mm.
23, the crispy chicken sandwich at Dairy Queen. And they have pictures of them, by the way. The Dairy Queen one looks terrible. then we have
They never look good.
22, the big chicken at Checkers.
Hmm.
Number 21. It's pretty low on the list. The original chicken sandwich at Burger King, which I like.
Is it crispy? Or is it?
It's
more breaded.
It's more bread. It's an oblong shape.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, it's like a sub.
Yeah.
Mm.
How about the chicken ring slider at White Castle's?
Oh,
I've never
had
the chicken ring slider. I've had the chicken rings just on their own.
Yeah,
the dipping sauce.
They're amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
The buttermilk crispy chicken sandwich at McDonald's.
I was going to get that and they ran out.
They keep running out of chicken sandwiches, yeah. Man.
Chicken sandwich.
The classic crispy chicken sandwich at Sonic. Also doesn't look very good. The Nashville hot crispy kernel sandwich meal at KFC. So that's the hot with the pickles and the hot sauce.
Right.
What is this? This looks like another...
Chicken sandwich?
It's a... there's no name to it, but it looks like it's a slider. Doesn't that look like it's from White Castle?
Yeah. Or a breakfast.
How about the classic chicken sandwich at McDonald's? The crispy chicken sandwich at Burger King. That's different than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
This is a round one. The spicy crispy chicken sandwich at Burger King.
Mm.
The double crunch at KFC. I've had that. And it's pretty good.
Yeah.
The crispy chicken sandwich at Culver's.
Culver's good?
Culver's is good.
Yeah, Culver's very good.
I've only had their chicken nuggets, and those are tasty.
They're called butter burgers.
Well,
so,
yeah, but, you know, I could slap some butter on a bun.
I know, but then not a lot of... Culver's is good, man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'll have to go over there sometime.
There's one at Six Corners.
Yeah, right on Irving?
Right on Irving. Not very far from where I live, so... the homestyle chicken sandwich from Wendy's. I've had that. It's good. The crispy kernel sandwich at KFC comes in at 9.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8 is a spicy chicken sandwich from Chick-fil-A, but I won't eat there. Number 7, the spicy chicken sandwich at Wendy's. Number 6, the big chicken filet sandwich at Hardee's.
Hardee's?
Yeah. Number 5.
Where is there even a Hardee's?
Yeah, on a highway.
The Oasis is gone, so where?
The how about this coming in at number 5? The buttermilk crispy chicken sandwich at Arby's.
Mm.
Tom made the mistake of like one of the first weeks that he was on the show of dissing Arby's. To this audience,
I don't like
it. You don't like Arby's?
I don't trust that.
Arby's is the best. It's the best. I don't care what it is. It might not be meat, but I don't care.
I'm not a fan of heated sandwiches.
Oh, like meat sandwiches?
Yeah.
You want a cold submarine.
Yeah, I like
hot roast beef.
You're like Mary Vandeveld. She prefers the cold cut.
Yeah.
So do you not like an Italian beef, a classic Chicago Italian beef?
No, that's fine. I don't see that as a sandwich, though.
All right.
I don't know why.
Let's get through this, and then we've got a break here. Number 4 is the sandwich combo at Raising Cane's.
Overrated.
You think so? Because I'm going to go there this weekend.
I think it's decent.
I've never been to it, but my dad loves it.
Oh, okay. I've heard the same thing that Tom's, that it's overrated.
There's one right by the Norwich Theater, so we're going to see a movie at the Norwich.
It's fine.
Okay. Number 3, the chicken sandwich at Chick-fil-A. Again, I won't eat there. Number 2, the fried chicken sandwich at Popeye's.
Mm.
And then number 1... The Chicken Shack from Shake Shack. The number one chicken sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
There's a Shake Shack right down here on Ohio.
Super good. Super good.
On Ohio. Shake Shack is good. I've never had a chicken sandwich there, but Shake Shack is good burgers.
Because their burgers are so good.
Their burgers are great. So, all right, we got a break here. By the way, coming up, Stories That Matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We'll take a break here on 720 WGN. That's further proof to the eternal question, why the hell is Joe Walsh in the Eagles? That's further proof that I don't understand why he's in the Eagles, because he's so cool. And the Eagles are not. Hey, it's Nick DiGilio, and we're back. Esmeralda is here. Hi, Esmeralda.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. So, I thought that was going to be a disparaging comment about Joe Walsh.
No, I love Joe Walsh. Okay. I hate the Eagles,
right.
But I love Joe Walsh.
Okay.
But Joe Walsh is in the Eagles, so I feel conflicted. It's just, every time I see, like, the Eagles, I go, why is that guy on with them?
Have you ever talked to him?
To Joe Walsh?
Yeah.
I have.
Yes. Why are you in the Eagles?
No, I did not ask him. I'm not going to ask him. Hey, I like you. Why are you in the Eagles? Because they suck.
That's
not a great lead question.
you never want to talk to him again.
I remember when I interviewed Walter Hill, who's one of my heroes, one of my favorite filmmakers of all time. He directed The Warriors and 48 Hours, Streets of Fire. He's just he's a legend.
Mm-hmm.
And he was in town promoting this movie called Johnny Handsome with it. Tom, have you seen Johnny Handsome?
I have not seen Johnny Handsome.
Oh, man, no. Please remedy that situation. Well, wait a minute. You're way behind on Walter Hill, right?
I'm super behind on Walter Hill. I've seen The Warriors. I've seen Streets of Fire. I've seen
48 Hours.
I've seen another 48. But he did not do that.
Yes, he did.
Did he do it?
Yes, he did.
Oh, God.
Did you see Hard Times with Charles Bronson?
I did see Hard Times eventually.
Did you see The Driver with Ryan O'Neal?
Yes. That was difficult to get, though. It's like out of print.
Yeah, I've got it. You know where I got it? I got it at a Walgreens for $5 in one of those front bins, and I bought it immediately because it's a hard film to find, and it's a great movie.
Yeah, I had to rent it from the library.
It's a great movie. It is seriously a great movie. So anyway, I'm interviewing Walter Hill for Johnny Handsome. This is a movie with Mickey Rourke, Morgan Freeman. It is a great, great movie, except for the end. I was not crazy about, like, and Lance Henriksen is in it, too. And I wasn't crazy about, like, the last 20 minutes. So
yeah.
I'm interviewing Walter. We finished the interview, and I get a picture with him, and he signs my lobby card for the Warriors, and he signed it and everything. And he was very, 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 very nice. And then I said, you know, I got to tell you, the first 90 minutes of Johnny Handsome is some of the best stuff you've ever done. And then he just kind of looks at me. He always wears sunglasses. Walter always looks sunglasses. He just kind of looks up at me, kind of pulls his sunglasses down, looks directly at me, and he goes, so you tell me you didn't like the end of the picture, Nick? And I couldn't speak because I was like, hobbina, hobbina. I turned into Ralph Cramden. I was like, hobbina, hobbina, hobbina. No, I get to. He's like, no, you didn't like the ending of the movie, did you? And I'm like, well, I just think it's like, well, okay, just say it. Say you didn't like the end of the movie. And I'm like, no, I'm leaving. I took my Warriors thing and left.
Wow.
I pissed off Walter Hill. But I did, like an idiot. I said, yeah, you know, the first 90 minutes of the movie is good. It's 2 hours and 5 minutes long, unfortunately.
Wow. Burning bridges.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bridge I was going to have. Me and Walter Hill are going to hang out.
You could have had a lovely relationship.
Yeah, with Walter
Hill.
As
long as you talk nice about Johnny Handsome.
Yeah. I always do talk nice about Johnny Handsome. I do. I just don't think the ending's
first 90 minutes.
All right. All right, Esmeralda, hang on.
Okay.
Because Slap Slapley's going to be here after the news, and we'll play a little For the Record. Yeah, man, Maiden. Yeah, Maiden. So that's a little Iron Maiden. Maybe somebody listening went to the show last night. Lots of people on my newsfeed, Tom, went to the show.
Legitimately jealous.
And posted a bunch of pictures of how ridiculous Iron Maiden is live. I mean, how awesomely ridiculous they are live.
So, you're going to go see Iron Maiden. You expect a show.
Yeah.
Bruce Dickinson in, like, the red coat running out with the...
And I want many giant Eddies. That's what I want. And I'm looking at the pictures. I was looking at the pictures. They played at the Tweeter Center or whatever, the World or whatever the hell.
The Hollywood Amphitheater.
Hollywood Village. they played last night. And lots of people in my newsfeed went on social media and took a lot of ridiculous pictures. They're awesome, though. Hey, welcome back, everybody. Esmeralda Leon is here.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, you looking forward to voting on the dummies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
For a second, I thought you meant, like, real voting.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, when?
Yeah, no, you better register to vote for dummies. And then, I don't know, I'm hoping maybe a Lou Manfredini might have out of context. I think we might.
That'd be nice.
Because I know it's your favorite.
Mm.
So welcome back. And now, look who's here. It's Slap Slapley, straight from Kent.
Wow. band follow you everywhere, Slap?
Yes, they're on my flight.
Oh.
I take them with me wherever I go, and they play tunes for me like God Save the Queen and all things like that.
I see. Mm. That's Slap Slaply, everybody, who evidently sounds suspiciously like Tom's sister.
Yes, we went to school together.
That's correct.
Wait, like, oh.
We were never romantically involved.
No. Tom wouldn't have it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. He would tan my hide.
Yes. Well, that's Slap Slaply. Mm-hmm. And that means we're going to play a little For the Record. Esmeralda, are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's a little music trivia that we play. There's different categories. It's of 80s and 90s in particular, and that's that's everybody's wheelhouse. So are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
So, all right. We'll start with Esmeralda then.
Wait, what's the prize?
Oh, yes.
Oh, right.
Who could forget?
Here's what you do.
It's my motivation.
You get to ride on the chopper from Easy Rider with zombie Peter Fonda.
Wow.
Yeah. That's a pretty cool prize right there.
I mean, yeah,
and you know what?
Yeah.
I believe zombie Dennis Hopper might also show up.
I would think.
Yeah.
I think they would hang out.
We'll check out in front of the building.
We'll see.
They'll be in the cab stand in front of the real.
Roland Doobies.
I understand you're using your paper not for writing, but for doobie rolling. You'll have a lot of time for doobie rolling when you're living in a van down by the river. All right. So, Slapper, who's first? Esmeralda, right?
Yeah, Esmeralda's going to be
okay.
First.
Okay. What's the category?
All right. The category is the 80s.
All right.
The 80s. All right. Esmeralda.
Yes.
Who had hits in the 80s with Rebel Yell, Hot in the City, and White Wedding? Was it A, Rod Stewart, B, Vanilla Ice, C, Billy Idol, or D, Eric Stevenson?
Billy Idol.
That is correct.
Eric Stevenson.
Is that a real person?
I don't know.
Okay. It could be.
Maybe it's Billy Idol's real name.
Stevenson?
I knew an Eric Stevenson back in prison.
What?
terrific songwriter. He sang like a bird.
Back in prison?
Yeah.
Yeah, he... Yeah.
Sang like a bird. Was that why he was in prison?
Mm.
Yeah. Exactly.
Ratting on some of the guys? All right. Yeah. All right, what's next, Slap? Ex-con.
Wow.
Prison
real
in Britain
judgy,
is very
Nick.
Different.
Well, he's an ex-con. What do you want me to tell you?
I have been rehabilitated.
Okay, but it doesn't mean you're not an ex-con.
I have paid my debt to society.
What, it doesn't mean you're not an ex-con?
He's a contributing member of this society.
Okay.
All right, the 90s.
Right.
Who had the 1997 hit, Where Have All the Cowboys Gone?
Oh, man. Oh, wait, okay.
Was it A, Jennifer Schneider? B, Paula Cole, C, K.D. Lang, or D, Jewel.
Are you all right, Esmeralda?
No, I'm just looking across the way. There is a man in his apartment that has not moved.
Yeah.
He's just standing in the corner.
It's really weird sometimes. I think there's a lot of weirdos that live across.
Yeah,
the,
he's just
and some people that, like, walk around and go, hey, look at my genitalia. That happens. That happens every once in a while.
Hey,
like 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll turn around. I'll be like, well, thank you for showing me your genitalia across the street.
They're in their house.
That would be Paula Cole.
That is correct. Little Paula Cole.
Yeah.
Where have all the cowboys gone?
I don't know.
Every time I come to this country, I expect to see John Wayne.
Well, he's been dead for many years.
Not even zombie John Wayne. What's
he
doing?
He refuses to participate in our game.
He thinks it's wimpy.
Yeah. He's above this.
Yeah. All right. We're tied at one.
Oh, all good. Right.
Esmeralda. Real name.
Oh, here we go.
All right. What was the birth name of Guns N' Roses guitarist Slash? Travis Bonofsky, Saul Hudson, Dan Hare, or...
Is it H-E-R-R?
No, it's H-A-R-E. Like,
oh, like a
like
rabbit.
Like the rabbit.
Like
okay.
A rabbit.
Okay.
Like what I caught yesterday when I was out with my fox.
When you were in prison.
Or Mark Straley.
What was that second one?
That was Saul Hudson.
That one.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That's his real name?
Yeah. Saul Hudson.
Wow. Okay. Didn't know that. Good job, Esmeralda.
Thank you.
All right. What's next, man?
All right, Nick.
Con man.
A little respect, please.
Or no, ex-con man.
Yeah, ex-con man.
All right, here's
Birdman of Alcatraz.
Birdman of Kent.
Birdman of Kent. Is there a prison called Kent? No, just the city.
I mean, there might be.
Just the town.
It's just stockades. There's no prison. It's just stockades.
You were in stockades. Okay, all right.
He was at the Ren Fair?
Yeah. The Ren Fair. All right. Yeah, he's eating mud.
All right, you're on stage.
Like what?
Is a category.
Okay.
The Allman Brothers were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in what year?
Oh, man.
Was it 1980, 1995, 1987, or 2000?
Hmm.
Man. I'm going to say 95.
Very good, Nick. That is correct.
All right. Oh, look at us. We're on fire.
All right. Yeah, this is good. We're tied at two. Mm-hmm. This is excitement. Peter Fonda's revving up the chopper as we speak downstairs. All right, zombie Peter Fonda.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah. R.I.P. One-hit wonder, Esmeralda. One-hit mm-hmm. wonder. This British group had a hit in late 1983 with Just Got Lucky. Who were they? Is it Joe Boxers? Rhythm Syndicate? Sugar Ray?
Sugar Ray?
Or Johnny Hates Jazz?
Mm.
Just Got Lucky, 1983.
Johnny Hates Jazz.
That is incorrect. It's Joe Boxers.
That's a real band.
Yeah.
Yeah. What came first, the underwear or the band?
I would imagine the underwear.
Okay.
What was Johnny Hates Jazz? They had a...
That was a band, right?
Yeah, no, they had a single. They were... It's just a... Da, 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 da. I can't remember.
Mm.
Yeah, but they had a hit.
Well, fine.
Because it was... because my friend Scott Oaken used to call that band Scott Hates Johnny Hates Jazz.
Oh.
So, all right. I might be able to take a lead here.
All right.
What's the mosh pit? What the hell? Okay.
Mm. Which I assume means potpourri of some sort.
All right.
Okay. This isn't very good. Who was the lead singer of the legendary band? I believe it's pronounced Led Zeppelin.
Come on now. Well, I want to hear the choices. Right. What are the choice? What are the other choices?
Wait, is it Led? LEAD?
Exactly. It's the
unknown
the spin-off.
Led Zeppelin. Yeah.
All right. Tim Scone.
Tim Scone. Oh, okay. I see what they're trying to do there. Okay.
Rod Stewart, David Legakos, or Robert Plant.
It's Robert Plant.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, it's my final answer.
All right. Yeah, that's correct.
Are any of those other people other than Rod Stewart real?
I'm not even sure Rod Stewart's real.
What's no, I don't think so.
I've never seen him in person.
The what was the first one? What was he? Johnny Meat?
Tim Scone.
Oh, Scone.
Tim Scone.
I think they were trying to go with like Plant Scone. I don't know.
What?
It's like a different, like a name of something else. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Because there's a plant. You look at a plant.
And you look at a scone?
And you look at a scone, you eat a scone,
so
you water
plants.
A plant. You can eat plants, too. That's right.
Uh-huh. I'm not sure I'm following the thought pattern.
Mm. Hey, I didn't make up the name.
That's true.
You can look
talk
at a scone?
To the guys, talk to the guys at For the Record.
Look at the plants.
All right, what's next?
All right.
Oh, is that the end of the round?
That's the end of that round.
Oh!
So Nick's got the lead with three.
Mm. Right, it's 3-2.
3-2.
3-2. Okay. It's a close game. Anybody's ball game. I'm telling you right now, even Tom Scone, or Tim Scone.
Tim Scone.
Tim Scone.
He's going to be very mad when he hears this.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Scone. Let's take a break.
Yeah.
We'll take a break, and we'll come back, and Slap Slapley will continue talking about his years in prison. Right. Take a break, and then we'll be back with more. Scott Hates Johnny Hates Jazz. Yeah, Shattered Dreams. That was their hit. Johnny Hates
He should have started a band.
Scott Hates Johnny Hates Jazz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cover band.
Cover band of that one song.
Yeah.
That's it. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. After 3:30, we'll start our regular features, kicking it off with Vic's Picks. Then we've got You Big Dummy, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and we'll crown it all off with Luscious Hushes will be here to play some fly jams. But now, Slap Slaply, ex-con, is here. And so it's 3-2, and I'm in the lead. On For the Record. So we start,
we start with me this time.
Yeah, we revert.
Okay. Okay, the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
Berlin's number one hit, Take My Breath Away, was the love song from what film?
Wow.
Do we really need a sequel to this movie? Really?
I just don't.
Personally, I'm part of the Iceman fan club, so.
Is Iceman in it?
I hope so.
Okay.
I hope so.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't care. Well, anyway, go
with the teeth. Right?
Do you want the options?
This is Val Kilmer.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. What are the? Well, I want to hear what the other choices are.
All right. Cocktail. Great. Great film.
No, it's
amazing
not.
Film.
No, it's not.
I watch that every Saturday. Born on the 4th of July.
Oh yeah. 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 They played Take My Breath Away in the story of Ron Kovic, Vietnam vet. That was yeah. Okay.
Risky Business.
Yeah.
And then
Top Gun.
Top Gun.
Okay.
It's Top Gun.
Top Gun.
All right.
God. All right. Esmeralda's All right, up now.
Esmeralda.
Come on, Esmeralda.
You got to do this. I've got money on this.
Oh. You might have bet
wrong. It was a mistake.
Which way? Yeah.
Oh, man. I should have learned from Pete Rose.
Oh, yeah, geez. Don't. Oh.
Bless you.
I think some of my brain shot out of my nostrils on that one.
Someone's going to have to some hazard pay to come clean that up.
It's all right. It went right into the recycle bin.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, the 90s. Who had a hit in 1991 with 3 a.m. Eternal? Was it KLF, SWV, REM, or U2?
Oh, man. What was the options again?
KLF, SWV, REM, or U2.
KLF.
Very good. That is correct.
Oh, God.
Very good.
I don't remember that one.
I remember the name. I don't remember how it goes or anything.
Who did KLF? What did they do?
They did nothing.
What was it?
Well, apparently they did 3 a.m. Eternal.
Yeah.
They're not the ones who
like
do...
they were a dance. I think they were like a...
Yeah.
Rave kind of a dance.
Who's the one that did that? You're unbelievable.
Who the hell was that?
And it another.
It had letters. They had letters in their name too. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay.
All right.
What do we got now?
Okay, it's your it's real name.
Okay.
All right. It's one of your favorite bands. What was Michael Stipe REM fame's birth name? What's Michael Stipe's real name?
Not his name?
No. You just made that up.
It's just a very bland name to be made
up. Is it Christopher Mark Letcher, Arthur Trent Dean, John Michael Stipe, or Michael Allen Court?
John Michael Stipe.
That is correct.
So his name is
really?
Basically Michael Stipe.
Okay. Wow.
All right.
Yep, no.
5-3, Esmeralda. I'm in the lead.
It's looking rough.
We're still getting ready, though. Here we go.
Okay. Next one.
Yeah.
You're on stage.
You're on stage, Esmeralda.
Okay.
You're on stage. This woman won the 1981 Grammy for Best New Artist. Who was it? Was it Janet Jackson, Apollonia, Susanna Hoffs, or Sheena Easton?
For what? What did they win?
The 1981 Grammy for Best New Artist.
Best New Artist. 81. Okay.
81.
Well, what was the last?
Sheena Easton.
Was the first one Janet?
That is correct, yeah.
I'm going to do Janet.
No. Sheena Easton.
Really?
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
I think it was my baby works.
No, it's the morning. My
takes the morning train.
She works from 9 till 5 again.
He gets back on the train again.
Oh, see, I was thinking that Sheena Easton was Sheila E.
Oh,
my God.
Well, they're both associated with Prince.
Right.
That's true.
So,
I don't know why I thought that.
Yeah. All right.
All right. One hit wonder. Nick.
Yeah.
Who had the 1996 hit "If God Was One of Us"?
Why am I getting those specific ladies from the 90s questions?
This is very Lilith Fair.
That's exactly right. Okay, give us, well, what are the choices?
Was it Jewel, Alanis Morissette, Joan Osborne, or Lori Rosengren? That sounds made up.
That was
our accountant.
That's Joan Osborne.
That is correct.
Yeah. All right. What's next?
All right, Mosh Pit.
Mosh Pit, Esmeralda. All right.
Let's see. Who has a live album called Live and Rare? Is it Meatloaf, Rage Against the Machine, Oasis, or Van Halen?
I'm going to go Meatloaf.
That is incorrect. It's Rage Against the Machine.
Ah, I was thinking because of the Rare, because Meatloaf.
That's what I would have gone. I would have gone with that one too.
But I was thinking, I'm like, that's dangerous.
Yeah. No, you don't want to have Rare Meatloaf.
Yeah, no.
You want to make sure your meatloaf is cooked.
That's not a place where you want Rare.
One of my favorite things ever was I was reading a review of Fight Club years ago, obviously 20 years ago when the movie came out, and Meatloaf's in it.
Yes.
And so I was reading it. It was in the New York Times. And you know how the New York Times, when they say, you know, like if they were writing about you, it would say Esmeralda Leon, you know, and then for the rest of the article, you would be referred to as Ms. Leon.
Mm, okay.
That's what they do, like, you know, whenever they talk about the president. It's, so they mentioned Meatloaf in the review, and then he was Mr. Loaf for the rest of the review.
Mr. Loaf?
Yeah, because it's the New York Times. They always do that. They always like Mr. or Mrs. whatever the last name is.
Yeah, but I would think that Meatloaf is just one word.
But they said Mr. Loaf.
Is he even credited in that?
He's credited with his real name. Well,
yeah,
he's credited with Meatloaf Adu, or Ade, whatever his last name is. I think it's Adu, A-D-A-U-Y, or something like that.
So then, yeah.
But they said Mr. Loaf. The New York Times said Mr. Loaf. I will never forget it, because I laughed out loud.
Wow.
Is that it? Is that the end?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the end. And his real name is Marvin Lee Ade.
Ade.
Meatloaf Ade.
That's how he's billed in Fight Club, as Meatloaf Ade.
See, but then even then, that means
it would have been Mr. Ade,
right.
But they wrote Mr. Loaf.
Mm-hmm.
So I beat you 6-3. That was a pretty sound victory.
All right.
So I didn't get anything wrong. Did I get anything wrong?
No.
I didn't get anything wrong.
All right. Have fun with Peter Fonda.
Peter and Dennis are down there waiting for me. All right. We're going to break. Thank you, Slap Slaply.
You're very welcome.
All right. I don't know how he got his pilot's license if he's an ex-con.
Don't ask. I had to do some things.
Okay, I don't want to hear it. Okay, we're going to take a break. We're going to take a break here. And when we come back, the news and followed by our regular Friday features that begin with Vic's Picks right here on 720 WGN. Sheena Easton, Best New Artist, 1981. Who knew? Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN Friday morning. All the regular Friday features are coming up, including Fly Jams Friday. We got Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy. And we kick it off with Vic's Picks. Vic Vaughn in the newsroom did not have a lot of musical knowledge. He'd be the first to tell you, so he wanted to change that. So we dug into the top 100 albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone, and he's been listening to them steadily since. And we check in every Friday morning at 3:30 to talk about a couple albums that he's been listening to and what he thinks of them. Shall we begin?
One Vic Vaughn. It's Vic's Picks on the Nick DiGilio Show.
Well, the rain explodes. All right, welcome back, everybody. And there you go. Esmeralda, you've been a part of this one time, right?
Yes.
You did it over the phone.
Yes, and I was amazed that he didn't know it was a Beatles album, early Beatles album.
Was it Meet the Beatles?
It might have been, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Because he hadn't heard them or he didn't know.
Yeah. Well, he's learning and buying records and all kinds of cool stuff. All right, Vic, which ones are we talking about now?
This week, number 18, Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen. I love this album. I hadn't heard it. I hadn't listened to it before. This is his third studio album. He was in just a little bit about the album before we started. It took him about a year, a little more than a year. He was in the studio from mid-1974. This is the time frame we're talking about, to mid-1975. I learned that he did all the work at Sound Studios, which is a north suburb of New York City, and the Record Plant, which was a famous one in New York City. I read a little bit about the Record Plant, and notable work came out of there. Famous place. But Born to Run was released later that same year in 75. But this is Springsteen's, from what I read. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, what you guys think, but his mainstream breakthrough album, pretty much?
I'd say so.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a breakthrough record for sure. But I mean, the big breakthrough album for Springsteen was Born in the USA. That's the one that put him in the stratosphere. But mm-hmm. Born to Run was the first album that made at least a real buzz, especially on FM radio.
Yeah, and from what I read, a lot of critics say this is one of the best rock and roll albums ever recorded. That I read a lot of. That seems to be what most critics think about this as far as Bruce Springsteen's work. And he's spoken openly about the creative process behind this album. I read quite a little bit about what he thought about the work that they put into it. And he says it nearly brought him and the E Street Band to the brink of destruction as musicians. So it was a lot of work for them to get through this creative process and get it done. It wasn't a pleasant process, according to Springsteen. It nearly wrecked them. But so knowing that going into it, listening to it, straight through from track one to track eight, that there was a lot of anticipation. It's only 39 minutes long, the entire album. But it, for me, did not disappoint. Tom's got a little bit of the lead-off track, Thunder Road. Now, you guys know the story behind Thunder Road and why Bruce Springsteen wrote it?
No.
He says that he was, I can't remember the theater now, but he was in a movie theater and he saw the movie poster for the movie called Thunder Road with Robert Mitchum.
Mm-hmm.
And, I looked it up, the poster, and he's got, he looks cool. He's got his hair slicked back, and he's got a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and there's a real cool car behind him. And apparently Springsteen was not going to see that movie. He never saw the movie, he claims. But he said the movie poster inspired him to write that song and do that song. Next song I wanted to bring up, track 5, Born to Run. A lot of critics say this one made... This is what I read, that a lot of critics said Born to Run, this particular track, kind of made Springsteen a household name, and I think Tom's got some of that one as well. Yeah, so Springsteen said that, this was Born to Run, the album, the whole album, was his last attempt at becoming a successful musician. He said it was about, at least in part, getting out of Freehold, which is where he grew up. It's a borough in Monmouth County, New Jersey. And, Springsteen talks about his dad. He was a bus driver, but mostly unemployed through his life. And he says his mom was the one who held the family together and, kind of mostly supported the family. And so this song, Born to Run, was a hugely successful song for Springsteen, from what I read. And also a very important one to this album based on, that song's kind of about, according to Springsteen, about getting out of Freehold and, becoming something. Track 6, She's the One. It's about basically a beautiful woman who I guess men can't seem to attract. Cold-hearted, some might call it. the woman. So I read Springsteen and the E Street Band. They played a lot on their live shows, apparently. I've never seen them live, but that's what I read about. And it has a really unique, pretty opening, and then this kind of driving beat or sound to it. But I wanted to see if Tom could play the bridge. You got some of that, Tom? That was my favorite, or probably my favorite on this album. I know you're now. Are you a fan? You're not a big fan of his, are you, Nick?
I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm not a Springsteen fan.
I'm curious, Tom, Esmeralda. Have you listened to this album?
No,
I like this album more than most of them. I think this is a really emblematic album for Springsteen. I'm not a Born in the USA person. I think there's some tracks on there that are good, but personally, I like this, and I like another one he did called Nebraska, which is really stripped down, and it's mostly acoustic, and comes
and very bit, depressing.
Yeah, very depressing. I love depression.
Me too. Yeah.
So no, but Born to Run is an album. Pretty much, if someone's just like, "Oh, I've never listened to Bruce Springsteen. Where do I start?"
Yeah,
it's pretty much this. Even though Born in the USA might be more popular and was it was an astronomical hit, and everybody knows, you know, so many songs off of that, even if they don't know it's Springsteen. But if you want to get to the core of generally who Springsteen is and what he's writing about, this album is pretty much square one.
And did we, that's what I kind of figured, and did we Born in the USA, didn't we, on this show, Nick? Does that ring a bell with you or no? I thought it was on the top 100.
Yeah, we may have done that a little bit earlier.
I know we did another Springsteen.
That's got to be one then. And that's, like Tom said, I mean, and it makes sense if that was one of the more popular ones, but that's the one that I had listened to, and there were some songs on there that I didn't even know. But this one, I do prefer over the... I really like this album. And I think I was telling Tom, maybe someone else, I think it was Tom and I discussing it, but to me it had like a blue-collar, gritty-type feel to it, and it was fun to have that conversation with Tom because he was explaining to me that's not necessarily the background that he himself came from, right, Tom?
Well, yeah, I mean, he is... more or less positioned himself as a blue collar hero, especially his stage persona and like what he's writing about and stuff. I don't know too much about his upbringing, but he just became a symbol for that particular listener. So that's why I think he's so popular with so many people.
Yeah, we'll close it out with Meeting Across the River. This one really caught me off guard. I don't know if you've ever heard this one, but it's very, to me, it sounded very different from the other songs on the album. And it starts with this striking like trumpet solo. Brecker is his name, the guy who plays the trumpet in the opening of this song, but here's a part from a little more than halfway through. Tom?
Remember, just don't smile, change your shirt, it's tonight we got style.
I think it's a very cool song. It's very instrumental in parts, but it's weird too. It's a story about two guys who are friends who they're going to do something. It doesn't really they have to meet this guy across this river to go do something. It sounds like they're going to commit a crime, but it doesn't exactly address that in the song. But whatever it is they're about to go and do, if they fail at this task that they have to go do, then it's all over for them. So it's like a make or break, do or die situation, which kind of reminded me of this entire album for Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band in their own description of it. So yeah, I love this album though. I really like it.
Okay, that's Born to Run, Bruce Springsteen, and I guess it's considered the quintessential Bruce Springsteen album, studio wise. But it was the record that sold the most. Might not have been, you know, and a lot of Springsteen fans don't think Born in the USA is his best album, but it was certainly the best selling album. I mean, that blew up in the summer of 1984, you couldn't get away from it.
So. And this would be the top, as far as the Rolling Stone magazine's list, this would be his highest showing, I believe.
Yeah. I would imagine that it would be. Yeah, this is the, like Tom said, if you're starting out, you know, you want Bruce Springsteen 101, you go to Born to Run.
Born to Run.
Yeah. All right, cool. We've got another album that we're going to be talking about here, and we're going to break here for some weather. And then when we come back, Vic is going to tell us about his next album that he listened to. As he goes, he makes his way through the top 100 albums of all time, according to Rolling Stone. So, all right, why don't we take a break here? When we come back, I'll give you the weather. That's right here on 720 WGN. Kurt Cobain said, "We knew we made it when we were covered when Weird Al did one of our songs."
Yeah, what number is Weird Al's?
Yeah, the next album is Weird Al. Yeah. By the way, coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Let me give you the weather really quickly. Today, high in the mid-70s, cooler near the lake, cool overnight with low humidity. It's going to be a really nice weekend. Sunny and pleasant on Saturday with comfortable humidity, high in the upper 70s. A few clouds overnight, down in the 60s for the overnight. Sunday, sunny in the morning and increasing clouds in the afternoon. Seasonable temperatures near 80. And Monday, mostly cloudy, warm, and humid. Chance for early morning thunderstorms and a high in the mid-80s. And then for Tuesday, mostly cloudy, scattered thunderstorms and showers in the afternoon, high in the mid-80s. Currently 61 at O'Hare, at 69 at Midway, and 69 at the lakefront. Okay, Nick DiGilio here. We're back. Esmeralda's here, Tom is here, and Vic's Picks. What's next,
Vic? Yes, sir. Number 17, Nevermind by Nirvana. Yeah. And this is a band that I was not very familiar with. I didn't listen to them when they came out. It was right when I was leaving the country. I was pretty young, leaving the country, and I didn't come back for almost 4 years. And it was back when, you know, we didn't have social media. I didn't have a computer over there or access to internet very often. So I just didn't really get into Nirvana.
So when you left and when you came back, Kurt Cobain was already dead.
Yeah, and so obviously his music was still huge, but I just kind of missed the boat on Nirvana and so many other bands. But obviously, this is their second studio album, grunge band with founder and frontman Kurt Cobain from Washington State. Dave Grohl with the Foo Fighters now joins the band on drums for the first time in this album. But they spent more than a year as well in studio on Nevermind, this album, from April 1990 to May 91, and it was released 4 months later in September by DGC Records. Massive album for Nirvana. Here Smells Like Teen Spirit, Tommy. For the record, Nick, your producer does not like to be called Tommy. I've just been reprimanded off the air. I don't know where that came from.
Well, okay, you know what?
I called him Tommy.
I share that with him because I hate being called Nicky.
Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah.
Tommy and Nicky, overnight.
Yeah, man, yeah!
Yeah, but I guess that song pretty much, grunge was born, right? I mean, isn't that basically the song that did it?
You know, if you weren't around when this record came out, it was revolutionary.
Yeah.
It changed everything. And the grunge movement began. The swing towards alternative music would last many years into the 90s. This was a game-changing record. The fact that Nirvana became so commercially successful, nobody expected it. I knew the album Bleach. I knew Nirvana, you know, before this record came out. Mm-hmm. And when it just went, I remember I was walking down the street in the fall of 91. And as I was walking down Clark. Mm-hmm. And as I'm walking down Clark, I hear a car go by that's blasting Smells Like Teen Spirit. And I'm not exaggerating this. And I walked past two separate houses.
Wow.
With their windows open, blasting Smells Like Teen Spirit. This was all during one walk.
Yeah. Wow. I feel like it's a similar story of a friend who he heard Nirvana and said that he was playing football. He quit playing football and picked up a guitar.
No, no, wow. It did that. No. That's the kind of thing that this album did. It changed things. It is truly a game changer. Never mind.
Now, I read something that's, you know, in researching grunge, you know, what's grunge in it, and one of the things that I kind of gathered from a couple different places that I read was that it's kind of a mixture of punk and rock and roll. Would you guys agree with that?
To me, if grunge or that type of music is if you take Neil Young and Black Sabbath and put it in a blender.
Whoa.
That's grunge.
Really? Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Both in like musical style and also it was also a sort of a fashion as well.
It was.
Especially
and also
the Neil Young side of it.
But Neil Young and Black Sabbath, by the way, almost every band that came out of Seattle or came out of that era cites those two artists as two of the major influences on what they were writing at the time.
Well, I can say this, when I was listening to this album, I started, you know, the first three tracks, we should play one. Let's go to the next song, track two, In Bloom, Tom. A lot of people probably sang along to that one without knowing what it was about. If Cobain was right, that's kind of what he wrote it about. But I started to really like the first three tracks. Let's play the next one, too, and then I'll say what I was about to say. Because it's called, it's track three, Come As You Are, Tom.
This is my favorite, by the way. As you are, as you were, as I want you to be, as a friend, as a friend, as I.
Now, is this your favorite album by Nirvana, Nick?
No.
Okay, which one?
In Utero.
Right, In Utero,
hell
okay.
Yeah.
In Utero came out
you told me that.
A couple of years after, and I think it is superior in every way.
Okay,
that's my favorite.
That
that's my favorite song off
that's
of this record.
That's your favorite song.
Off of this record. But my favorite song by Nirvana is called Penny Royalty, which is on In Utero.
All right.
Which is a phenomenal, I mean, I think it's an incredible song on an incredible album.
Yeah,
Nevermind. I love Nevermind. I think Nevermind's
a
great
record. I do, too.
Yeah.
And I love Nirvana now. I didn't really listen to them, but when I got to track four, it blew my mind, and I fell in love with Nirvana. I want to listen to a lot more of their stuff, but this track four, I hope Tom has a cut of this one. It's called Breed. I had never heard that song. Let me just say that I listened to it probably a half dozen times back to back, and there was a lot of headbanging going on my part.
Well,
and
I was going to say that's the hardest song on the record.
Man, I loved it, and I understood for the first time why anybody would enter a mosh pit.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they do that anymore. I never did. But they do? I want to go now. I'm not joking. That song blew my mind. I loved it.
Mm-hmm. How much flannel do you now own?
None. I need to go get some flannel. So this weekend, I'm going to go to Wicker Park, buy some records. I'll pick up some flannel, too. Maybe some Doc Martens. Is that a good look?
You know, back at that time period, I was full on long hair, flannel, Docs. I
had the cut off blue jeans.
I had the whole thing, man. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you know what? And I always wondered I do remember this. I remember wondering, how can he sing like that without injuring his vocal cords? And I read that he did injure his vocal cords it was on this song. He blew his voice out four times. They had to do four separate recording sessions because he kept blowing his voice out.
Yeah.
But well, anyway, that's why I'm doing this project, is to run into old bands like that. I mean, I never knew I would like or be into Nirvana, but I absolutely am now.
Yeah, well, it was a huge band, and when the record became as big as it did, and You know, this was not what Kurt Cobain wanted. He didn't want this superstardom. He didn't want it. He never really wanted it, which is one of the reasons why he ended up killing himself. So it's a sad story, but they left behind some great music. And I can't recommend In Utero highly enough. If you like Nevermind, Vic, you really, yeah, you got to listen to In Utero.
All over it.
It is a great record.
Yeah, thanks, right, Nick.
There you go. Vic's going to continue doing that and listening to music, and we'll talk about it again next week at 3:30.
Dummy. You big dummy. You big dummy. See what you did? Oh, no, you big dummy. You dummy.
Yeah. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Skyline Studio here until 5 a.m. It is Friday. That means all the Friday features, including Straight Out of Context and Nick D Show Spies and Fly Jams Friday. But we kick it off with You Big Dummy. Esmeralda, are you ready for the dummies?
I'm ready.
It's been a while since you've been down here with the dummies.
Yeah.
And I don't mean the stories.
It sounds like
I mean,
bring them in.
I mean, me and Tom and Vic. That's what.
Oh,
I'm,
yeah, that's what I'm.
Dummy number one. Dummy number one. Dummy number one. By the way, these are real stories.
Mm-hmm.
Real news stories of real dumb people doing real dumb stuff. And we've got our. Usually, we have a caller call in for the third vote, but you're here, Esmeralda. So you will be our third vote for this
okay.
morning.
Okay.
So. Listen closely to the dummies.
Mm-hmm.
Dummy number one. A Massachusetts man sparked a fire on his family's home roof last week as he tried to get rid of a pesky hornet's nest with a Roman candle. Dave Schmida of Sturbridge first tried using Raid, an insecticide spray. Do we really need to have that detail? Everybody knows what Raid is, right? It's an answer for those people who don't live on planet Earth. But that didn't work, so he decided to use a firework instead. A video taken by his brother Matthew shows Dave firing three shots towards the hornet's nest nestled in a corner of the roof on the third floor of their home. What an idiot. His first three shots missed, but the fourth hit its target in the hornet's nest and went up into flames. Matthew Schmida posted the video on Twitter on August 12th, writing, "This was not the best way to take down a hornet's nest." Wait, stop, someone could be heard saying in the video. "There's a fire! It's the nest, and it went up immediately," Dave Schmida told the Telegram and Gazette. He then went upstairs to put the fire out with a fire extinguisher. Dave Schmida can be seen in the video leaning out of the window with a fire extinguisher in his hand. The roof suffered minimal damage, some boards were burned, and now there's a small hole in the house. "I did get rid of the bees, so mission accomplished." By the way, fireworks are illegal in Massachusetts for anyone without a professional license.
What kind of life do you think it is being the father of a young dummy? And for every dummy, there's a dummy.
Dummy number two. Dummy number two. Two. Three people have been cited for riding scooters on the freeway on Monday, according to the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office. It happened on the I-94. It happened on the I-94 near the Marquette Interchange. Do you ever have a traffic report in the past, Esmeralda, with scooters out on the roads?
No. I haven't been here for that.
It's the
once the scooters arrived.
Yeah, the scooters are all over the place now.
Yeah.
And it's really strange. You know where I live.
Yeah.
There were two in front of my apartment building.
Like, yeah, you're the random... Irving Park.
Yeah.
That's the cutoff for the...
Oh, it is?
For the program, yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no wonder. Because there were two in front of my apartment at the same time. Like in different parts. Like at the end of the building at the other corner.
Mm.
I came home. I'm like, what the hell is this? So, because you can leave them anywhere.
Yeah.
So, all right. There you go. Let's get back to this. It happened on I-94 near Marquette Interchange, one of the busiest areas of the city. Deputies responded to westbound 994 at 20th Street around 1 p.m. The sheriff's deputy pulled the group over and gave them a ride off of the freeway. The scooter riders told deputies they were visiting from Texas and were using their GPS to navigate to the Harley-Davidson Museum on their scooter. There's just something really hilarious about people on scooters going to the Harley-Davidson Museum. Like, the complete opposite of a Harley-Davidson is riding on a scooter. We obviously don't give any intelligence tests before people get to take these things out, the mayor said. Why someone would think it made sense to take one of these scooters on an interstate is beyond me. Up until now, the biggest problem has been people riding on the sidewalks instead of the street. It led the mayor to temporarily suspend the program and warn residents if they don't start following the rules, the scooters can disappear. This is a pilot program, and that means that we can very quickly change it if things are not working, the mayor said. People have to use a little common sense here, and if you're taking a scooter on the expressway, you're not using common sense. The three were cited for riding on the freeway. It'll cost them $204 each.
One dummy ain't enough in this house. You got to bring home super dummy. But if you and Rollo going to be in the movie, I got the perfect name for it. Super Dummies.
Dummy number three, dummy number three, dummy number three. Okay, I get it. I see how it works. Apparently, in our current police state, it's illegal to try and fix the tires on your own car with the crap that you find in forgotten office first aid kit. Maybe not illegal, but just pretty stupid. And the part about being under the influence of drugs while driving, that's illegal. A Mercedes driver in the Mission Viejo, California, learned all this. The 26-year-old was spotted by a passerby around 6 a.m. in the morning where the mid-2000s Mercedes-Benz M-Class was parked on the side of the road. By the car, surrounded by a lot of small, fuzzy wrappers, was the driver who was attempting to repair two severely damaged tires with gauze and Band-Aids. It's not clear if the driver warned approaching police by saying, "Officers, we're losing them, let me work." And then proceeded to attempt to give the tires CPR. But what is clear is that you can't staunch tires bleeding air with gauze, partially because air doesn't clot, and partially because what kind of idiot are you? I do like that it appears that gauze had been packed into the sizable tire wound. What I'd really like to know is if the driver actually had the medical supplies with him, or if he specifically went out to purchase them to try and repair the tire. The man eventually was arrested by Mission Viejo police on suspicion of being under the influence of drugs, though it's possible that the police just wanted to be nice so the guy could be responsible to have a reasonable explanation as to why he's such an idiot.
Here's something for you right here. Want it. Dummy. Won't be long before we'll hear the pitter-patter of tiny dummies around the house.
All right. Why don't we take a break here for some weather? Band-Aids and gauze.
MacGyver worked with less.
MacGyver. Well, more like MacGruber, which, by the way, is a funny movie, and I don't care what anybody says. That's the, you know, of all of them. No, actually, it's Pat. Is the SNL spinoff movie that's made the least amount of money? Pat, but MacGruber is second.
Oh wow!
And MacGruber is hilarious. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care. I love that movie, and I think it's hysterical. All right. Well, let's take a break here. We got some weather. We'll come back and we'll wrap up the dummies, and then we'll get to the other regular features right here on 720 WGN. Oh, yeah. Welcome back, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the WGN Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago on this Friday morning. Yeah, man, Friday. That means regular features, straight out of context, Nick D. Show Spies, Fly Jams Friday. Luscious Hushes will take your requests at 312-981-7200. But let's get back to it. Right now, we're doing You Big Dummy. Dummy! Dummy number four, dummy number four, dummy number four. A man carrying a life-size doll he found in a downtown dumpster through the streets caused quite a furor Tuesday morning. Multiple emergency calls were received beginning shortly after 11:30 a.m., according to Kansas City, Missouri Police Department's Twitter page. Panicked passersby said the man was, quote, carrying a topless, unconscious woman. One caller said it looked like, quote, he wanted to throw her over a bridge. Another noted that he, quote, dropped her on the sidewalk and drug her head over the curb. Other callers noted the man had slung the, quote, unquote, woman over his shoulder and appeared to be trying to dress her. Finally, one caller said the man was yelling, "Savior!" while holding a woman near the 12th Street Bridge. Several officers responded to the scene only to discover the man was carrying a doll, which he told police he found in the dumpster of a restaurant at 16th Street and Broadway, according to KCPD's tweet. He had carried her into the woods, but officers instructed the man not to carry the doll around in the public anymore. They let this guy walk off into the woods? What? I don't know, but that doesn't sound very good.
I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y, period. Dummy.
Dummy number five. Dummy number five. Dummy number five. Three homes caught fire in Newburgh Heights late Monday afternoon. The fires happened on Pierce Avenue near Washington Park Boulevard just before 4 p.m. The homes are all apparently owned by one person. The homeowner was using a blowtorch on some weeds around his home when his truck caught fire, exploded, and set the other two homes ablaze, Mayor Trevor Atkins said. There were no injuries reported. The state fire marshal's office was called to assist Newburgh Heights fire officials in their investigation. Crews from several fire departments also responded to help extinguish the flames. The Broadview Heights Fire Department shared a bunch of photos of the blaze on their Facebook page.
La-dee-dee, they la-dee-dum is dummy. Just Donna and me. And the dummy makes three.
Okay. We have to vote here on who's the biggest dummy. We never have a shortage of dummies. This is a segment that will never end because people are dumb. All right, we have to vote on our dummies. We've got, here's the recap. We got the dummy who used a Roman candle to kill kill hornets and he sparks a fire. We got the dummies who rode their scooters on I-94. We got the dummy who repaired his flat tires with Band-Aids and gauze. We got the dummy who was lugging around a life-size doll through Kansas City and then into the woods. And we got the dummy who started multiple fires while he was blowtorching weeds. So, Tom, where are you going?
Well, initially, I wanted to go with the guy with the doll because he literally has a big dummy.
Yeah.
But it's got to be the dude who was blowtorching weeds.
Until his truck blew up.
It's like, I don't know. That's like the nuclear option. You know, oh man, I've got these weeds around my house, so let me go grab the blowtorch.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Because somebody else was using a Roman candle. So I can't use the Roman candle. That guy next door is using it for the hornet's nest. Yeah, so
that's just stupid.
I'm going to get my blowtorch.
What a moron. So yeah, guy with the blowtorch. Okay. That's just too much.
All right. I really enjoy the guy with the band-aids and the gauze fixing his tires. For some reason, that just really cracks me up. I like the two idiots started fires in two different ways. One with a Roman candle trying to kill. I did kill the hornets. I killed the hornets, so it did work. Mission accomplished. You started your roof on fire, though, you idiot. But I, too, have to go with the blowtorch man. I have to go with, I just keep picturing R.J. McCready out there.
You've got to be freaking kidding me.
McCready says he wants the blowtorch. He wants the what? Fight the flamethrower. McCready wants the flamethrower. He wants the what? David Keith. He wants the what? All right. So I went with Blowtorch Man, and Tom went with R.J. McCready as well. Well, who are you going with?
The Blowtorch.
Blowtorch. It's a unanimous.
Yeah. How did he think, like... did he think it would be a contained fire?
Right. He's in a blowtorch. He blows up his truck.
My dang truck.
He blew up his truck. Two other houses that he owned were on fire.
I guess it's nothing to him. He owns three houses.
I got more houses than I got trucks.
It's fine.
I got more houses than I got blowtorches.
Let me get the good blowtorch.
Yeah. I got to call up my friend R.J. McCready. Mac wants the flamethrower. Mac wants the what? That's from The Thing, Esmeralda.
Okay.
Because Kurt Russell spends a significant amount of...
light it on fire.
He spends a significant amount of time in that movie wielding a flamethrower.
Mm.
Mac wants the what? All right. Okay. Lots of flames this week on the dummy report.
Mm.
Dummies.
It seems like dumb people and fire just kind of happen together.
Oh, no, that happens a lot. That's a common theme on Friday morning when Esmeralda.
It's a terrible cocktail.
It's a,
for them.
Dummies. All right, let's break here. We'll break for the news. And then after the news, we'll come back and we will continue with our regular features straight out of context. And we maybe have Lou Manfredini, Esmeralda.
Oh.
Would be nice because you're here visiting. And then we'll have Nick D's show Spies, and then the funky stuff starts.
Get cream to clear that up.
I was quoting Prodigy. but I can't say the word. It's funky stuff, I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. You better duck, because Ice Cube is crazy as F-bomb. As I leave, believe I'm stomping, but when I come back, Lord, I'm coming straight
out of context. Context.
What's up? Tell them where you're from.
Straight out of context.
There it is. Another one of our regular Friday features. This is Straight Out of Context. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, here till 5 a.m. Esmeralda Leon has been joining us this morning. It's always great. Esmeralda shows up. And this is Straight Out of Context. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. And whenever anybody at any time says something that you can pull out of context and it sounds dirty and it makes you giggle a little bit, jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. All right. Tom, shall we start the thing?
Let's do this. Okay, so it seems like the universe wanted to align for Esmeralda being here.
Okay.
Because... this is Lou Manfredini Fest, basically.
Yeah.
How about that, Esmeralda? Esmeralda, for those who don't know, Esmeralda loves the segment, but particularly when Lou Manfredini is caught on Straight Out of Context. So the universe knew that you'd be here.
Lou knew,
and he was like, I'm going to go a whole week of going nuts.
He had no idea, but he knew.
He knew.
All right, so let's start off with Don from Marengo. Here's Lou Manfredini.
Rub it again. Nothing harsh. I don't want anything super strong.
Oh, man. Okay.
And then again, Lou Manfredini, this one from Mark D. in Aurora.
I like the small ball.
Is he talking about baseball?
Yeah, talking about baseball.
Little single here, a little double there.
A little small ball.
Yeah.
A little small ball. This is an interesting one. Dean Richards here, caught by Linda.
It sounds like one without nuts, too.
Well, what the hell?
It's a little tough to hear them, but they're talking about squirrels.
Sounds like one without nuts, too.
Something about his nuts?
Sounds like one without nuts, while Steve Cochran is making active squirrel sounds. That is Steve Cochran as a squirrel man.
That was Steve Cochran as a squirrel.
As a squirrel man.
And Dean saying that he has no nuts.
Yes.
Okay.
Tough one there. But we'll follow it up with another Dean caught by Dirty Dave.
I wouldn't even finish getting done licking myself.
Dean double jointed? What's that?
He's got an amazing ability. He must be half cat.
All right.
Again, Lou Manfredini. This one coming to us from Lake Geneva Dan. This might be an all timer.
It's for natural and Ipe tones, deep penetrating.
With music in the background too.
Yeah, I love the Katy Perry.
Yeah, was that Katy Perry?
Katy Perry as he talks about penetrating.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Number six here: Steve Cochran caught by Brian J.
And I didn't hit it again. I'll hit it again right now.
I think that's the second time that Steve has been on in the past few weeks with that very similar hit it thing.
He's got to hit it.
Yeah, he's got to hit it.
But he can't quit it.
That's right.
Next up, Dave Ennett caught by Jesse.
See, hold on. Now, you love Lou Manfredini.
Yeah.
When he's on this. I love it when Dave is on.
Those are good, too.
Yeah, I love it when Dave Ennett is on Straight Out of Context. Okay.
All right.
And a tattoo of two rabbits mating on his right arm.
What?
And a tattoo of two rabbits mating.
Who voluntarily goes into a tattoo place and says, I would like a tattoo of two rabbits doing it?
Apparently it was some artist's rendition of Larry Bird. But like,
wait, it was supposed to be Larry Bird, but it looked like two rabbits.
No, it was Larry Bird.
Oh, Larry Bird had a tattoo?
Yeah, it was someone painted a mural of Larry Bird and put a bunch of lewd things
on it. Oh, I see. Okay. I thought for some reason Larry Bird had a tattoo of two rabbits mating in real life.
What a legend.
Very random, very weird thing right there. Oh, man.
All right. Next.
Do you think there's anybody out there who has a tattoo of tattoo? Hervé Villechaize?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They got to, right?
Are you kidding me?
You want to see my tattoo and it's Hervé Villechaize? That would be pretty good. A tattoo of tattoo. All right.
On Tatooine.
Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Mm-hmm. What is that? Is that the desert planet, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, that is the desert planet.
Is that the one that has the two suns?
Two suns
where Luke is majestically looking out. Yeah. What does he have to go into town for?
Power converters.
That's right. The worst line reading in the history of film.
But Uncle Ben,
I got to go and get the power converters into town.
All the other kids.
Okay, what's next?
All right. Rokan here caught by Fox Valley Mike.
Turns out women are damn near naked down there anyway.
Right. What? What? Who agreed with him? Right.
That's Kevin Powell.
That was K. Powell? Right.
Of course.
Yeah, he's getting ready to go to Mexico. What does he care? Okay.
All right. Lucky enough, even more Lou.
Wow. This is amazing.
This one caught by Brian.
It's probably about 10 inches long, which will be plenty.
Yeah, that'll be plenty, Lou.
More than enough.
That'll be plenty. Okay.
All right. The young Lauren Lapka appearing here.
All right.
This one caught by Timothy.
Well, if Brian can get me ready, I just wanted to get in the mood for, you know, the biggest thing.
What? What?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What? Whoa.
The biggest thing. All right.
Well, Lou's got 10 inches, so...
It's plenty.
It's more than enough.
Wait a minute. Mary's going to say something. Mary, were you going to say something? Hold on a second. Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say I have not trained her well.
No. Yet.
In this.
Oh, you mean in
oh,
how to avoid
how to avoid this.
Straight out of context.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Apparently she has not learned Lauren.
Well, actually, that's a big one, too. That is bad. Yeah.
She should have stopped herself right away. As soon as she said, show me.
Yeah.
You can't avoid the straight out of context.
No. Yeah. No. But I just love the fact that sometimes somebody will say something and then immediately go, oh, man, that's going to end up on the...
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. I even do that. When I say something, I'm like, yeah, that's going to end up on the show.
And oh, really?
Yeah.
Speaking of Nick D.
Oh, look at that. See, this is a segue. That's a segue.
That's why you got that plaque.
That's why I got the plaque and the sidewalk across the river. That's right.
All right. Caught by Mark here.
You want to clean my box now? Thank you.
Wow.
Okay, Esmeralda, I was talking about cats.
Yeah.
Okay.
And about how, you know how they are. Just shut up, feed me. clean the litter box now and just shut your mouth. Yeah, but come over here, let's cuddle. Shut up, feed me, shut your mouth. I'm going to go pee on the bed. That's my imitation of a cat.
That's very accurate.
It is totally accurate. Yeah. That's why I love cats, because of that attitude. I love it. Okay.
All right. Next up here, this is another Dave Bennett.
Oh,
we're getting a double dose of Dave Bennett here. Caught by Brian.
I don't remember the last time I took it out.
We got to hear that one more time. Let's hear that one more time.
I don't remember the last time I took it out.
Goodness, Dave.
Oh, that's so good. Okay.
Jeez. All right. We got two here for you.
Me?
Even more Nick D.
Come on, man.
Extra Nick D. This one coming to us from Debbie.
So I'm getting it on. I'm getting it from both ends. Yeah, I knew it. That was one that I knew. That was one. As soon as I said it, I went, oh, man. Yeah.
And then here's one from Dawn.
In Hawaii, no celebration is complete without a lay. By the way, Dave is here. I want to see if we can get Dave to talk a little bit about the last time he took it out.
Yeah.
Hi, Dave. Did you hear yourself?
I did, Nick.
Yeah.
And
what were you talking about?
Thank you.
No, thank the listener. Thank the listener.
Yes, I have no idea. Maybe it was two rabbits mating on Larry Bird's shoulder.
That's twice you appeared. I think that's a record.
I think it might be, yes.
In one segment.
Yes, I pride myself like Mary on avoiding straight out of context.
Well, good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
Welcome. Okay, what's next?
All right, another couple quick ones here. This one's coming to us from Maria. It's Lou Manfredini yet again.
Wow.
Squirt some of that over the top of it.
God. And, you know, this was one that got sent in last second, literally at 3 o'clock this morning. And, you know, this is from listener Chris, and I wanted to see if I could include it because it's Esmeralda. So let's try it out.
What came first?
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, it was nice for the listener to keep it so close.
Thank you.
That was very nice. That was Esmeralda.
You know, I didn't know Wendy.
And no Wendy this week.
No Wendy this week.
Was she on vacation? Was she on vacation? That's kind of the only explanation. So, all right. Let's break here for weather. And when we come back, we've got Nick D Show Spies. And then we'll do some funky stuff before we get out of here with your Fly Jams Fridays.
Spies.
Hey.
Someone took your plans away. So what's all of us? There ain't nobody.
Spies.
Like us.
Yes. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here till 5 a.m. And then coming up is Steve Grzanch with the opening bell. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. All right, continuing with our regular Friday features, this is Nick D Show Spies. This is when you listen to this radio station 24/7. Whenever I am mentioned or the show is mentioned in any capacity, we want to know about it. You become a spy. Jot down the day, the time, who said it, and send it to nickdshow@gmail.com. Okay, Tom.
All right, so this was just one spy this week, but it came to us from a number of people. I'm going to give credit to Tim and Celine, and also, let's see here, another one, Deanna also let us know about this one. So this is Roger Badish on the Matt Bubala Show.
Unless it's like when we were kids and you'd try to... I'm sorry, everybody, if you're going to be offended by this, but it is 1:19 in the morning. And Roger led us down this path. But as a kid...
Yes.
I don't know if you ever did this, Roger, but I will admit that I did this a few times. Because I read about it, and then I thought I got to try this. Where you would pass gas by holding a cup up to your cheeks, and then you saran wrap it immediately.
Yeah.
To hold it in. And then you get to your brother or sister, whoever you want to torture,
uh-huh.
and you come up to them and you whip that off and hold it right up to their nose. How if
do you
that
know that
truly works? I don't know.
Do you know that Nick is going to have a field day with this on Friday?
Oh, okay.
I guess you needed to hear it
out of context or something. He was thinking it was out of context.
I really thought you might be interested.
Yeah,
in.
I was thinking while Bubala was telling this story about farting into a cup, I was like, how the hell does this have anything to do with me? Where's but leave it to Roger to pull me into that. leave it to Banish to pull me into that. Okay. That's it, interesting. All right. do we want to say hello to the Fly Jams Friday?
When I grew up on the farm, fly was something we sprayed to kill and jam was something we put on our breakfast toast.
Jam. Fly Jam. Fly Jams Friday.
Oh, yeah. This is Fly Jam Friday on your overnight radio with my man, Nick D, on 720 WGN.
Yeah, there you go. All right, it's time for the Fly Jams Friday. Let's say hello to our DJ, Luscious Hushes.
Oh, yeah, Luscious Hushes, baby.
Ah. Hey, by the way, Tom, Dean gave Ready or Not a B+.
All right.
Yeah.
Is that good or bad?
It's good.
Okay.
I'm really looking forward to it. And by the way, now he's about to grade that stupid Gerard Butler falling.
Angel Has Fallen.
C+.
Now I'll see it.
It's going to... Why?
I don't know. I get to see movies. Remember, I get to see movies for free?
Yeah, yeah, but come on, man.
How many is that now? Sequels or whatever?
That's the third of the,
of the Fallens.
Gerard Butler running around like an idiot movie. So, all right. Well, do we have some requesties?
Oh, of course we do.
All right.
First one up here, it's a classic. The Sugar Hill Gang with Apache coming to us from the 773. Thank you very much, 773. We love you.
Right. That's a classic right there.
Is it Custer?
Yeah, Custer, yeah. Like General
like
Custer.
Like General Custer. Yeah.
General Jump
Custer.
On it.
Yeah.
Get in that line, General.
That's right. Hey, by the way, the Wiggles are in town this weekend.
Oh, boy.
No. Wake up, Jeff.
Yeah.
Are okay. You going to go see him?
Of course. They're staying at my place.
Good friends with the Wiggles.
That's right. I'll get home. The Wiggles will be waiting for me. All right. Next.
Next, coming to us from Harold, it's Tina Turner with her cover of Whole Lot of Love. I'm gonna send you, back for some schooling. Yes, he goes way down inside. I know you need it. And I'm gonna give you my love. I'm gonna give you my love. Oh, oh. That's a great version, by the way. I had not heard it until I got the request.
She's a badass.
That's incredible.
She's a badass, Tina Turner.
Oh, totally.
You know, she's a badass in every way. And by the way, just to make sure that she has full badassery forever,
mm-hmm.
She's in a Mad Max movie.
True.
Oh, yeah.
That's Beyond it. Thunderdome.
That's it. That's it. If you wanted to be a bigger badass, was it possible? Yes, you're in a Mad Max movie. Okay, what's next?
All right, next up, coming to us from Bennett, the Business of Funk Wake Night.
Bennett.
A classic, stone cold, funkadelic, Can You Get to That? I love it.
There you go. Hey, by the way, speaking of Fly Jams and Funky,
mm-hmm.
Missy Elliott's releasing her first album in 14 years.
I saw that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. About time.
Yeah, what the hell? Where you been? All right, I think we got time for one more.
Yeah, one more quick one. Mike in Louisville wanted to hear a little Michael Jackson.
Oh.
Here's Rock With You. Don't try to fight it. There ain't nothing that you
such a great song.
Unbelievable.
That's my favorite. That is my favorite Michael Jackson song of all time. Without question.
Wow.
I love that song. All right. Well, there you go. Thanks, everybody, for fly jamming it. And Esmeralda, it's so great to see you.
Aw,
ditto. Thank you for the logs of meat.
Yeah, for sure.
which you might hear that next Friday on the show right there. And it's always great to see you. And come back soon, okay?
Will do.
Okay, Esmeralda Leon is the best, and we're going to take a break. Coming up is the news after this.